720 WGN. Hi there. I'm not the White Sox game. I'm Amy Guth. Hello. Happy to be with you today. How are you, Curtis?
I am good.
Good. I haven't worked with you in a minute. How's everything?
I know. It's been a while, but good.
Good.
Anything? Busy, of course.
I was going to say, you kind of switched gears today pretty quickly.
Yeah. I'll be here almost all afternoon, but it'll be fun.
It'll be so much fun. There's so much to talk about. I almost don't know where to start. But here's where I'm going to start. Here's where I'm going to start. I have many things to discuss when it comes to viewing television. Many things. First of all, it is marquee network time, right? That's been something we've been discussing.
Yep.
A lot of Cubs fans are like, wait a minute, can't see that on antenna TV anymore? What's going on? Not antenna TV, the station, but, you know, a TV with an antenna on it, non-cable kind of live air sort of thing. So a lot of people are like, well, wait, how do I? But they're not the first to do this. A lot of sports teams have said, you know, we're going to own this content. You need to pay for it if you're going to watch it. So that has been the case for the Cubs. And so there's a little bit of a delay. It's not as straightforward as it seems, right? If you're looking at it, you're like, okay, the switch gets flipped and not quite. A little bit of a delay. There is a piece that the Tribune has, actually, that if you have any question whatsoever about marquee TV, this piece definitely answers it. Phil Rosenthal wrote that piece. It is like, he wrote it like a Q&A on a website. I can't think of anything it doesn't answer. So there you go. I recommend that. Anyway, here's why this is on my mind. I got to talk to you about this, Curtis, and everyone listening, because I would like your input on this. And that is, I am a dinosaur. I've discussed this many times. Here's a way that I am totally a dinosaur. I don't watch enough television to feel like I could justify like buying a new TV. So I have the first generation of flat screen televisions. So it is standard definition. If a broadcast is only in HD, I can't even see it. I can get the sound, but I can't get the picture. And I've adjusted the screen settings many times to make this work. But eventually it just got to the point where any sports broadcast, the score is just off the screen. And for many news programs, the text at the bottom of the screen saying who that person is, I can't even see it. I have to guess. I'm like, that sort of looks like, you know, Senator so-and-so. I'm not sure who that is. I have to Google that. I have to like figure it out. Right. So I could see that being a professional disadvantage for me, right? That I can't see those numbers or those names. So I've been thinking like, well, okay, I'm going to start maybe setting a couple bucks aside eventually, and I need to get a new TV sooner or later. But I also like have it in my head that new TVs are thousands of dollars. They're not, right? And I don't need like a, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't need a giant one. I mean, the TV I have is like a 32 inch screen. It's not huge. It's a very small TV. So I, you know, that you can accomplish a quality one for under $200, and that's okay. And so I had a blowout with my cable provider.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Curtis. Oh my God. And here's the thing. Some companies, I would say, are known, like they're known for not good customer service. And that happens to be my cable provider because that's who I have. Like that's the only person with the cables in my building. So I don't have a choice. Anyway, nonetheless, so I called, let's see, 2 days ago, my cable wasn't working properly. I just wanted to, you know, had a long day, came home late at night, just wanted to sit down and watch a minute of television and relax a second. It wasn't working. It said, if this, you know, unplug your cable box, and if it doesn't work in 10 minutes, call the company. I did that. The next day, still a problem. So I call last night. I'm like, hey, here's what's going on. The first person I talked to, I feel terrible for the young man because he was clearly very ill, or maybe like had a stab wound, or he was suffering on the phone. And I was like, is this guy okay? Like this, the person answering the phone, I was like, this kid should be home in bed. I don't know what he was really struggling to get through our call and kept going, hang on. And would put me on, you know, like a panic state, put me on hold and then pick up a couple minutes later and be like, okay, sorry. Are you okay? Is everything fine? Okay. Tell me again what's happening with your cable. And I'm like, this poor kid, he's sick or bleeding to death or something's happening. So he goes, I have to put you on hold again. Puts me on hold. He said he's going to run a test. 5 minutes goes by. Someone else picks up and she's like, hi, what's, you know, answers the phone with the company name, and she's like, what seems to be the problem? How can I help you? And so I have to start all over with her. And I'm like, you should check on that guy I was just talking to because I think he's quite ill. But also, here's the situation. She goes, you know, I go through the whole thing with her. She's doing tests through the cable box, sending signals. It's not helping. I can see that, like, she makes the lights flash. Nothing's happening. I'm getting very frustrated by this. She puts me on hold. We go through this whole thing. She said to me this phrase, and I almost lost my mind, because she goes, well, I'll send a tech to your house. And frankly, the last person they sent, I was uncomfortable. He said some like inappropriate stuff to me in my house. And then he goes, hey, give me a Coke or something. I have a headache. And I said, well, I'm sorry. I don't drink soda. I don't have any. And he got mad at me and like actively griped me out. And he was like, what's the matter with you? Why wouldn't you have that? You don't have any hospitality. You don't have any manners. And I was like, look, if I had a Coke, I would give it to you, man. It was just this weird thing, right? So I said, you know, I prefer, if you just need to switch the box, can you just mail me a new cable box? I really didn't feel good about that last thing, you know. Oh, sure. So she puts me on hold. Anyway, I'm making a long story longer and ridiculous and belabored, but basically they can't do it. So she said, I'm going to schedule a call for you tomorrow morning. So this morning, someone called who still can't help me. And finally he could help me, but he needs to upgrade my service for an extra $50 a month. And I was like, I can't give you that. That's out of my budget. I can't do that. And so I sat down. I was like, I need a minute. I will call you back. And I sat down and started looking at some numbers here. And I'm like, you know what? If I cancel my cable and just join this Century and get a regular flat screen television, what I'm saving in cable, I could buy the TV and, you know, like 2 months, I could pay for the TV. So I think that's what I'm going to do. So I have I want to discuss cord cutting, which is what, you know, when you dump your cable and you move to like internet based stuff and Hulu and Netflix and all that. So there's a lot here. If you have done this, because here's the thing, a recent survey says that 60% of Americans have completely ditched cable television. So I say all this recognizing I'm way, way, way behind. But if you have done this, or if you are like, no, I'm staying with cable and here's why, or if you've gone back, I want to talk about this topic because I think it's really interesting. And obviously, I have a personal stake in it at this point. 312-981-7200. I'm going to take a break. When we come back, Curtis, I want to hear what you do if you have cable or if you have also cut the cable cord, all that stuff. Okay, back in just a bit here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. It's Amy Guth in for the White Sox game. I'm not the White Sox. I'm so sorry to disappoint you. It has been raining since, I think, the middle of the night in Arizona. I've been watching the weather and I'm like, nah, I think I'm going to be on today. I think that's what I'm going to do. So happy to be with you. I apologize that I am not the White Sox. I think that every single day. So sorry that I'm not the White Sox. But nonetheless, lots of things to talk about. Right before the break, we started talking about ditching cable. I'm very interested in this. One survey that is almost exactly 1 year old said 60% of Americans have ditched cable. 12% say they're totally fine. They want to stay on cable. They like it. They don't want anything to change. The rest are kind of in the middle of like, eh, I know I need to do that, but I don't have time or money to deal with it. Or some are like, eh, I know I need to do it, but I hate to make a bunch of change. I have been in that category of like, I know I need to do it, but I don't want to go through buying a new TV and messing with it. That said, I use streaming services. I've used them for years. I just watch them on my computer, right? Or on my phone if I'm going somewhere. Like if I'm on the train, I'll watch something, right? So this is just a matter of like, I'm getting with the program. Also, as I'm sitting here saying this, window washers just lowered behind me and it scared me to death. I'm on the 18th floor of the building and I just turn around and I was like, holy moly, what's happening? There's a person behind me. Hi there. How's it going, guy? All right. So anyway, Curtis, what do you do? Do you have cable or do you just stream or both?
At my apartment complex, the whole building has RCN.
See, I'm the same. My whole building has not RCN. I have a different company and I have to use that company.
Yeah. And I found out because we were talking about Marquee earlier.
Yeah.
And we've had a few texts coming in, people wondering about what channels. They haven't, from what I understand, struck a deal with Xfinity. But if you have DirecTV, it's on channel 640 or 664. AT&T UVerse, it'll be on 740 as your standard definition. HD channel will be 1740. RCN, it'll be on channel 679. MetroNet will be channel 29 and TV Vision or T Vision.
I want the record to show you're just rattling this off the top of your head. You just know these things. Yeah. So a lot of people sign up for Hulu in anticipation of having marquee TV.
Yes.
And they're paying, well, it depends on how much. I think it's 50-ish.
I think it's like an extra $50 or something like that. I don't remember the exact
number. So it's not cheap. So there is a, if you follow me on Twitter, I'm at Amy Guth, G-U-T-H on Twitter. I'm going to tweet out links to all the stuff I talk about. But there is a piece that Robert Chanik wrote at the Tribune talking. This is a timestamp of last night. Cubs marquee TV network launch delayed on Hulu streaming service. So it could be delayed as much as until the end of March. So that is a thing to think about. Anyway, so we're talking about streaming, though, because that's really the broader topic here. What do you do? How do you get your entertainment? Is it a mishmash of both? There's lots of stuff here. I see some calls rolling in. I would like the rest of Curtis's story, but he's busy answering calls right now. 312-981-7200. Tell me what you do. If you ditched cable, tell me what made it great. What was difficult about it? What advice do you wish you had when you did it? All those things. These are things I want to know. Somebody on the text line told me to just go to a pawn shop and buy a TV that way. Fair point. That's an often overlooked shopping source, things like that. So we're getting some calls. Let's start with Linda in Aurora. Hi, Linda. You're on WGN. What are you doing about cable or not cable right now?
Okay, so I cut the cord about 6 months ago.
Okay.
Okay, so it was kind of scary because I am a Bravo Food Network kind of gal.
I'm with you completely. Those are my channels too, for sure.
Yes. So I kind of had like withdrawal.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, I can't do this. But I have an antenna on my apartment building. We have an antenna. So I hooked up to the antenna, and I get amazing channels. It might not be like Bravo, but they're similar. And after a while, it all goes away, and you'll be fine.
So you didn't replace it with streaming services. You just ditched cable right up.
Well, I am on my daughter's Hulu.
Okay.
So some shows, like I love the Good Doctor.
Yeah.
I go on Hulu.
Honestly the only thing I like about cable is Food Network and Bravo, Linda. I'm right there with you.
I know. And it's almost like, like having DTs, I felt like my life was ended.
Right?
It was scary, but it truly worked out. And here's another thing. When I went to cancel my cable, they were like, oh, we hate to see you go. Let's see what we can do for you. They cut my bill in half.
Wow. I think they're really hurting because so many people have ditched cable.
Yeah. And I'm like, no, you should have done that. 6 months ago.
Right. Where were you last year? That's
so sorry.
Exactly right. Okay. Well, thanks for the call, Linda. I appreciate the vote of confidence. I feel very empowered to do this now. All right. Let's go now to Bill. You went off the grid and now you're back. Tell me what you did.
Well, no, I'm not really back, but I went to old school, like your last caller.
Okay.
I used to have a satellite dish from a certain company that name I won't mention, but it starts with a D.
Okay.
Kind of narrows it down to a couple of them. But I was paying about $126 a month for their top 200 channels. And, of course, you can't watch 200 channels at a time. But I was basically watching about four or five channels. When my contract was up, they begged and begged and made similar deals like the last caller said. I said no. I returned their equipment, and I went to our local Menards here in Danville. I paid $44 for an outside digital antenna, put it up on the roof of my house, and I pick up about 28 to 32, 33 channels. And I love it. All the local channels, a lot of, it's mandatory now, FCC saying that they all have to provide a free pickup. for right. people with an antenna. And the money that I save is just, it's invigorating
yeah.
in that. And like what you were saying about liking the Food Network and that,
yeah.
and that, I totally understand that because I miss like Turner Classic Movies
yeah.
and History Channel and all that. But you know what? The money that you save off of the cable or the satellite, just use that for your internet and get it off the internet. A lot of them, like the CW, they have a couple of free apps where they stream all the new content, you know, 24 hours after it airs on TV. So
yeah, that's true.
If you can't pick it up on the antenna, you can get it on there and that. But I will never ever go back in me. I kid you not. I mean, this is how it was when I was growing up. And I remember when cable came in and everything, and it was so neat to have all those mm-hmm. extra channels. But now it's like, I will never go back.
Yeah, that's how I'm starting to feel, too. I'm right there with you. This is making me feel very good. I appreciate the vote of confidence here. I think I know what I need to do. And it sounds like, I mean, the money I'm going to save, like, maybe I won't need TV because I can finally take a vacation or something, right? Saving money and getting rid of that cable bill, right? All right. Well, thanks.
It really adds up.
Yeah. Thanks, Bill. Have a great day. All right. Let's go to Steve. You ditched cable and you went to antenna. Sounds like I'm seeing a trend here.
Pretty much just like your last two callers. I get everything I want to see. This is going to sound kind of corny, but I am an avid WGN listener.
Nice.
And I do listen to it pretty much as long as I can. I do watch certain television shows. I love public television.
Same, yeah.
And I support public television. And my wife gets to watch hers and whatever she wants to watch. You know, I don't believe we should have to pay to watch TV.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's the revelation I've had. I've been kind of feeling that in my bones, but I think over the last 24 hours just dealing with really unhelpful customer service folks, I'm like, you know what? What am I doing here? So, all right. Well, I appreciate the call, Steve. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Have a good one.
You too.
All right. Well, I think we're going to have to take a break here in a second, but I want to get to one more caller before we do, because I want to keep this topic rolling. There's a lot of stuff here, a lot of feelings going on here. Let's talk to Marianne. Marianne, what do you use instead of cable?
So I used to have Comcast, and I cut the cord about a year ago.
Okay.
And signed up for YouTube TV.
Oh, how do you like that?
I love it. You can share that with up to, I think, 4 or 5 users, and it's $49 a month.
Which is way better than cable.
Way better than cable, and there's so much. You can watch it on demand. You can watch it live, and there's just a lot of options. The only channel you don't get is WGN.
I know. I know, I was going to say, except for one little problem.
Right.
Well, maybe the powers that be will fix that one of these days and make it available to you. Okay, well, that's a good idea. I'm taking notes as everybody's calling here.
It's very freeing.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm thinking of. That's the phase I'm in of my life. I want to free myself of all the things. So this is really good information. All right, well, thank you so much, Marianne. Have a great day.
Okay, you too.
All right, bye-bye. All right, well, we need to take a little break, but when we come back, I want to keep this topic rolling because I'm really fascinated to hear how people have cut the cord with cable, what they've done instead. But if you're keeping cable and you love it, I want to hear from you too. Tell me why, because according to data, more than 60% of Americans have broken up with cable. They have divorced themselves from cable. So let's talk all about it. 312-981-7200. Back in just a bit here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. It's Amy Guth, not the White Sox game. I'm so sorry I'm not the White Sox, but I will do my best to make up for that. We've been talking about severing your ties with your cable company. This is a really interesting topic. It is one I'm feeling some personal feelings about because I had quite a showdown with my cable company last night and again this morning. Because look, you know, you pay them and you want to be at least treated like a decent human being. I don't even know what was happening. I've worked in customer service before, so I know it's a very hard job. People call you, they're mad. So I'm trying to be nice, but you're like, holy moly, you're not even trying. One person, Curtis, said to me, I said, here's the issue, you know, and she said, oh, I'll send a tech. And I told her why I didn't want a tech to come out. I said, can you just mail me the new box? I'm thinking of dumping cable anyway. And she said, okay, okay. I apologize that, you know, I'm sorry that happened, and apology accepted. I'm like, wait, what? I'm not apologizing to you. I'm here to complain.
That is so confusing.
So confusing. I mean, I was just like, what? You have to like look at your phone. Wait, you're accepting my apology? Wait, what? Like, it was so stunningly, what? So anyway, I want to talk to you. If you have broken up with cable, let's hear about it. What'd you do? What are you glad you did? If you had to like kind of start and then kind of shift and go down another path, I want to hear all about it. I'm taking notes. I want to know all the things you've done. Or if you're like, I tried it, I went back to cable, I especially want to hear from you. 312-981-7200. Okay, Randy has been waiting very patiently. Hi, Randy. You're on WGN. How are you feeling about cable right now?
Not very good. we've tried to cut the cord with Comcast in Rockford for quite a while, and every time they're very uncooperative. The latest, we wanted to go to streaming. We added up the costs for adding streaming services and thought it would be very worthwhile, but went to Comcast and said we want to drop our package that has our old landline, our internet, and our cable, and all we want is internet. And they were promoting $20 a month for internet service for signing on. And unfortunately, they told us, they said, well, since you're a current user, if you want to go back to that, it'll cost you $80 a month for your internet. And we went round and round with them. And, you know, we're still trying to figure out what to do because they're not helping. They're not really offering much of a discount. It's like, well, we'll give you 6 months of Showtime or something, you know. And it's like, this is not helpful. And I don't understand. You know, like I told them before, you're not a very good service when you treat newer customers better than people who have been with you for 15 or 20 years.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's right.
They just aren't getting it. And I said, I'm paying for how many hundred stations that I'll never watch or never use. And why can't you come up with packages like satellite does?
Yeah, that's right. See, you know what? I'm glad to hear from you because I was having that thought. Like, I'm going to call them back and cancel because I have you know, internet and cable bundled, and I was looking at my bill trying to figure out how much it would be once I have this gut feeling that when I make that call, they're going to be very difficult to deal with. I just have that feeling in my gut. So, all right, Randy, you've helped me.
Don't be surprised.
Yeah, right. I will be prepared because of you, Randy. Thank you so much. Well, good luck. I appreciate the call.
Thanks.
All right. All right. Well, let's go to Dave now. Dave, what are you doing about cable?
Well, here's my story. I had Dish Network for like 18 years.
Okay.
And my bill was always consistent. And all of a sudden, they started trying to jack it up and jack it, you know. And I'd call them and say, hey, I can't do that. And they'd be like, okay, okay. Well, the last 2 years, maybe, they wouldn't wiggle.
Huh.
And they kept raising my rates. And I finally said, I can't do this no more. I got to cancel.
Yep.
So I canceled them. Mediacom, you know, their stuff comes in the mail all the time. You know, you always get these advertisements. So they promised me a 2-year contract at a certain price. I thought, okay, I'm going to do that. The bill never came in the same price, always higher, always different every month. So within 3 months, I called them up and I said, this is dumb. I'm not doing this. The lady turned off my TV before I even hung up the phone with her.
What?
Yeah, they don't take no grief. I'm like, okay, fine. So I went to Menards and bought an antenna. Now, I live exactly 100 miles from Chicago and 100 miles from Pontiac, where the two towers are.
Yep.
So it's tougher for me to get a signal.
Okay.
But I bought a preamplifier and a splitter, and I'm telling you, on good days, I get everything I need.
Okay. About how much did that cost you at Menards?
Well, I had rebate cards, so it cost me $4.95.
But, whoa, nice!
It was about a $50 antenna.
Okay, but you know that's a $50 well spent to save you a lot of headache with that company.
I was spending because with Mediacom you had to have phone, internet, and TV. It was like $200.
Oh no!
So I cut it all out. I have no internet, no phone. You know, I have a phone through somebody else.
Sure.
But I'm saving $150 a month easily, and I'm laughing all the way to the bank.
Yep, that's right.
I'm telling you, and I went through withdrawals because I watch CNBC, the business channel, religiously.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through withdrawals, but I got over it.
Yep.
And now it's like, wow, man, you turn on your TV and you get 16 channels of stuff. Pick something. There's some good stuff on. You just got to look for it.
That's right.
And I only watch TV for 4 hours a day anyway.
That's right. See, that's the thing. I only watch it at night when I get home, and then I'm tired and I want to go to bed. That's right.
Right. And you know what? If there's nothing good on, you turn on WGN radio.
That's exactly right. That's what I always say.
And if the weather's bad and the antenna doesn't kick in, you turn on the radio.
Yep. Or God forbid, read a book.
Well, yeah.
There's that,
so,
too.
So there you go. That's
okay.
My story. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Bye. Thanks, Dave. All right. Well, I believe people have spoken, and I know my task ahead, Curtis.
Yeah, I would think so, too. Lots of texts coming and saying, like, the same thing. 219, I have not had cable for 30 years, got an antenna on the roof, get huge number of channels, also have a DVD player, and get movies and shows from my library. My 15-plus-year-old TV and I are very happy.
Nice.
Bobby saying, hi, when the analog TV signals went dead and became digital, I recycled my 10 and 12-inch TV. Haven't had a TV set since. No regrets.
I love that.
We haven't had cable in over 10 years from the 815. The library system in Illinois is great. Any movies or television shows that are available on DVD are available there.
I love getting stuff from the library like that. People think of just books, but you can get... There are so many resources at the library. Absolutely.
But the streaming stuff, too, like Hulu and Netflix, I know that's all becoming popular. I have Hulu.
Okay.
So I know I can not only see Cubs games and stuff on Hulu, but I can go ahead and watch other shows and stuff like that, too. But also, too, I think, like, just in general, the basic package that you get doesn't have a lot of entertainment.
That's the thing. That's what I've got. I've just got the most basic cable.
Yeah.
And it's like, sometimes I'm like, this is all garbage. Why am I paying so much for nothing?
Yeah.
Nothing. I have nothing. And it goes out all the time. I feel like I'm always calling them. And anyway, well, so, I mean, here was the issue that I was having, right? So as my cable went out and they said, oh, well, maybe you haven't paid your bill. I said, well, it's on an auto charge because it's the same thing every month. So that's not it. So they checked and said, oh, indeed, your bill has been paid. You're fine. They said, oh, your cable box is obsolete now. It just, phased out. It's too old. So you have to get a new one. I said, oh, well, you would have been nice if you told me that. Okay. Can you just send me that? And once we got that all worked out, if I go pick it up, they will give me one for whatever, I pay a part of my monthly bill is, I guess it's a rental fee for that cable box. It's like $8 or $9 a month. So they would then charge me $12 a month. So there'd be a couple dollars extra added. If I had it sent to my home, I said, oh, it's not really handy for me. I don't have a car. I'm kind of public transportation. The pickup place is kind of not on a train route, and it's kind of in a sketchy area. So is there any way you could ship it to me? Sure. And he said, you just need to approve this, the proposal for that. And it was, if they ship it to me, it was an extra $20 per month for, okay, let's think about that. I'm already paying $9 a month just to rent the box. The new box I need, because mine is not good, $12 a month. But if they ship it to me, instead of just like, okay, and that'll be $5 shipping or $10 or whatever, $20 per month. Like, tell me how much sense that makes. You're renting a box we shipped to you, therefore we're going to charge you an extra $20. And I just feel like, it's the only company I can use because that's what's in my building. So I can't change and I'm stuck. So I'm like, you know what? I don't want it.
Yeah.
It's time. And really, truly, I sat down and did the math this morning because I try to be very price conscious in everything that I do. And so I was like, you know what? If I cancel cable, and as Randy said, it's hard to because you bundle it all. So I'm kind of having trouble telling exactly how much I'll save. But I think this is a conservative estimate. I could, if I just have internet, the TV would pay for itself in 2 months.
Yeah.
That's what I think. If not two, three. Either way, it wouldn't be a year of paying that monthly bill. So I'm like, you know what? I just need to just get off my duff, go get a new television. I don't need a giant one, just a regular, modest, normal. So, okay, but you started telling me, Curtis, what you're doing. You have RCN in your building.
Yeah, so RCN's in my building, and to be honest, I don't watch a lot of TV either, but I have the TV because, one, I play video games, so I have my game systems connected to the TV. But
also, you're a sports guy.
Yeah, but also, I mean, so I can watch the Blackhawks, and I can watch the Bulls and the White Sox, and but I know the Cubs will be on RCN, so I have that option, but I also have Hulu as an option, too. But I know that the streaming services also appealed to a lot of students, like the Hulu package that I had, because I've had Hulu for probably 3 years now.
Okay.
I had it when I was still in school.
I see.
And they had a package where you had Hulu and Spotify Premium, and you just had to log in as a student, and you got them both for $5 a month.
Whoa, that's a great deal.
Yeah.
Because Spotify Premium's like $10, $11 a month,
$11 a month, yeah. And so they have that deal going on. You just had to list out your school.
Interesting.
What grade you were in, major, all that sort of stuff. And you got it.
And then how long, and then immediately upon graduating, you shift to a different price, or do you get a grace period?
I may have used the grace period up until its full potential.
Until they reminded you you were out of school.
That you may not be a student anymore. And then I was like, all right, well, now I'm going to have to pay the full $10, which at that point was fine because I was working
here. You had a job,
and everything was going great.
Yeah.
But no, I do use Hulu and like Disney Plus and Netflix and stuff to watch shows.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, if I want to watch, you know, a live sports game or watch, you know, like a comedy special or something, I'll flip on. But I don't use probably 95% of the channels that RCN offers as that basic package in my building.
That's right. I mean, there's so many cool things that are only available on like Amazon or Netflix that honestly, a lot of times if I'm going to watch a movie or something, I'll just watch it like on a laptop. Or, you know, I have like a desktop computer in my bedroom and I'll just get in the bed and watch it there, right? I'll just dial up Amazon and just blah, blah, blah. You
know, yeah.
Because I have Amazon Prime, so I'll just watch the Prime Video. I'll just do that.
Yeah.
And that's fine and that's easy and that's all good, but interesting. Any other texts coming in we should look at?
Lots of texts. It's kind of hard to keep up. Bought rabbit ears during Black Friday, free after rebate. Have not had cable for over 5 years. Also utilize the library. They have box sets of popular shows. That's from the 630.
I just want to say, we have got some savvy shoppers listening.
Yes.
Right? We have using Menards gift cards and rebates, and we've got, like, I just went and bought an antenna, and I did this. I'm really impressed with the savvy shopping happening here from this from the listeners. Good job, everybody.
847 saying, I have never had cable. I use an antenna with a newer TV, and I get the major stations plus substations for free.
Okay.
Went through a withdrawal when pro football or sports started putting games on cable.
Yeah.
Now no more withdrawal symptoms from pro sports that are not broadcasted for free. I pay a total of $60 per month for AT&T internet, which includes the 10 monthly equipment rental. Mm-hmm. With antenna TV, there are so many substations, cooking, home improvement, etc., and all four major traditional stations, including WGN. I will splurge a few months a year for Netflix for approximately about $9 per month and use a gift card for payment. That way, I don't have to worry about my credit card forever being charged.
That's a really smart move right there. Mm-hmm. That's a good money move. We're going to talk about some smart money advice and moves a little bit later in the 4 o'clock hour. So file that one away. That's a smart one. Use a gift card so you don't get that auto debit.
Yes, exactly. And another texter asking that if you reported that creepy technician to the company.
I did. Actually, it happened twice, to tell you the truth. So that guy, I was so angry at him, but I had not let a tech in my house in years because longtime listeners might recall that I used to have a cat, rest his soul. When I had that cat, I had this company out to it was something about the wiring was not good and they sent me a notice saying, hey, the wiring in your building, all of your, you know, all the units need to be redone. So me and my neighbors all had this tech out on the same day and we worked it out. My cat, because cats are curious, was like looking and I said, hey, kitty, come on. You know, I pulled the cat away from him. He goes, oh, I don't mind. Animals don't bother me. You just play with them. And then, so I said, okay, well, as long as you're not allergic or anything, as long as he doesn't get in your way or get hurt or anything. The cat kind of crawled up and he shoved him really hard, like through, basically, like put his hand on my cat's face and shoved him. I was so angry about that.
Wow.
I was so, and I was livid. And that is when this company first got a presence on Twitter. And I was like, I am not going to wait, but I also don't, this man is in my house. So I was sending them direct messages on Twitter. I was like, help me. This man has just pushed. I mean, I grabbed my cat and put it in my bedroom. I was like, oh, nobody's touching my cat. No, no. And I was like, hey, what are you, you know, I admonished him. You know, I said, like, don't do that. That's my cat. But I was like reporting him. They're like, hey, he should have a number on this, on the tool belt. Like, what is that number? What, you know, I said, don't you know who's in whose house? Don't you? Like, I don't,
yeah.
You know. Anyway, I got that reported, and that was years ago. I mean, my poor cat died in 2014, so it's aww, been a while. So that was at least, I don't know, 2009? I had not had any tech in my house. And then this last guy getting angry at me about the having a Coke in the house. I was like, dude, I don't have a soda. I don't want to tell you. I can't afford it because I pay for cable. Right? So, yes, but to answer that texter's question, absolutely, I reported that guy. I was like, this is totally inappropriate. So there's that. Well, there's a lot of stuff here. We have just gone long on this topic, but more here because I've got some more data for you. We've been talking all about breaking up with cable. 312-981-7200. Text or call if you've got something to add to that conversation. And thank you to everybody who has called and sent a text. It is all great, great information. And of course, very good to hear from everybody. Back in just a bit here on 720 WGN.
Your heart. You'd never think to purposely stop it from pumping. I'm Tara. And when my team at Northwestern Medicine discovered a deadly malformation in my brain, my cardiologist and neurosurgeon said the only way to treat it was by stopping my heart. And that's exactly what they did. 12 times.
Anchored by Northwestern Memorial Hospital, ranked 5th in the nation for neurosurgery by U.S. News & World Report, Tara's unique condition required a unique team, collaborating like never before. Her team temporarily stopped Tara's blood flow, allowing the catheter to more easily travel through her veins to reach and obliterate the brain malformation.
Stopping my heart saved my life. You don't hear that every day.
Because what makes us better makes you better. Northwestern Medicine. Learn more at nm.org/better.
That old car is worth money. Visit victoryautorecords.com for an instant quote. Victory will tow no matter what condition your car's in. Victory buys vehicles every day, including nights and weekends, and you'll get cash on the spot. Go to victoryautorecords.com for more information or save money by fixing up your car with used parts. Go to victoryautorecords.com to search their inventory. victoryautorecords.com.
victoryautorecords.com.
Every show has its star. At this year's auto show, the biggest star of them all is the 2020 Porsche Cayenne. With all-wheel drive, seating for five, and a turbocharged engine offering greater power and torque, the Porsche Cayenne quickly steals the spotlight. See the Cayenne for yourself and get special auto show savings at the Porsche Exchange of Highland Park, Chicagoland's only premier Porsche dealer. View the entire inventory at 4Porsche.com, the number 4Porsche.com.
720 WGN. Hello, it's Amy Guth, not the White Sox game. I'm super sorry. Real lousy weather in Arizona. So White Sox Angels have, there was first a little bit of a delay, then straight looking like they'd come in later. No, they straight up canceled that. Looks real soggy on that field. Do we know for sure about the Cubs yet? Looks like they're still scheduled for later.
Yeah, so far they're still scheduled for 7:10 tonight. Okay. But the forecast out in Arizona has been calling for rain pretty much until the evening hours.
Yeah.
So it's kind of up in the air. There's a few other games, too, that are also up in the air. Okay. Out in Arizona. All the Florida games are playing fine, though.
Right,
for
which has
training.
Nothing to do with us.
Yeah, nothing to do with us, but they're all getting in. But,
yeah, that's right. Yeah, I was looking at that Arizona weather radar this morning, and I was like, this is not looking good.
Yeah, but I know there's probably about at least a dozen or so other spring training games in Arizona that have also been canceled today. So
equal opportunity rainstorm on that one. So, yeah, indeed. Well, I'm glad to be here with you. So we've been talking about cable TV. Y'all got some feelings about cable, and I am feeling very validated by this. I mean, so as I said earlier, last year there was a survey that said over 60% of Americans have broken up with cable. Whether that means, forget it, I don't need this, I'm going to save the money and just buy an antenna. I love the people that called and said, I went to Menards and spent a couple of bucks, bought an antenna. The end. Thanks. Bye. Yeah. I don't miss it. I love that because that's like, that sounds very freeing. Like, I don't need to be paying that bill. I'm going to save that money. I love that. I love people that are like, you know what? It took a little getting used to, and now I'm streaming stuff. I like it. interestingly, you know, in looking up this topic and looking for data around it, a lot of cable companies are struggling because, I mean, 60% of people, that's a lot, and it's only climbing. 2020 is predicted to be a banner cord-cutting year. So who knows what that number will look like in a few months, right? And a lot, there's kind of two things driving that. One is price. People recognize, what in the heck am I paying all this money for when I could be, which is the other driving factor, watching this stuff. There's all this exclusive content on some of these other streaming channels like Hulu. We were talking about marquee TV. We've been talking about some special TV shows and series and movies and stuff like that that are only on like Amazon and Netflix and things like that. So there's a lot of factors. So, I mean, if I was a cable company, I'd be quite worried about, well, I might be looking for another job at this point, to tell you the truth. So y'all got a lot of feelings, and I've appreciated hearing from you because I think I'm going to do this. But I looked this up, like how to do the cord cutting really well. The first thing they said, because I was ready to call them back and be like, you may cancel my service, I am done. But I started Googling this first, doing my research, and every source was like, get your stuff first. Get everything together first so you know exactly what internet you need to ask for, because they're going to possibly give you a little bit of grief. That caller, Randy, validated that concern, right? The people, that the company might give me some grief because it's all bundled. So they obviously, they're losing customers. They should want the business. So they might try to reduce the price, or they might try to make it very difficult to get out of that. We shall see. But I think this is a really interesting topic. I have been so delighted to hear from so many of you. And I know there's some other texts and right now some other callers coming in. 312-981-7200. We've got a little bit of time left in this hour. We can always come back to this topic. I feel like there's a lot of stuff here. I feel like I've kind of poked at a bee's nest a little bit. There's a lot of stuff here. Coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, though, we have a guest that's going to join us by phone for something totally unrelated to cable. We're going to be talking a little bit about healthcare and how employers can have a little conversation in that. So that's another topic there. But we're going to take a couple more calls, it looks like. But I think this is pretty interesting. I love the antenna idea. I love the idea of just like going over to the, I think both callers that said that did that, they both said Menards. They went to Menards, they bought an antenna. One person even used like rebates and got it for $4. That's amazing. That's a shopping bargain win if I ever heard one. Get that antenna, do that. So maybe I don't even need, because look, my TV's so old and so bad. It's not HD. It's the first generation of a flat screen. So it's old, old. And I'm that person that will like buy a car and drive it into the ground. Because I just think people buy too much stuff. So maybe I don't need a new TV that can handle more services. Maybe I just need to buy an antenna for the one I got. We'll see. We shall see. So we're still, Curtis is chatting away with some callers. There's some stuff coming. I'm excited about what's about to happen. But here in a minute, we're gonna hear from some other folks about this. But yeah, I mean, here's the thing. So back to this survey that I was kind of referencing earlier, because of like all this content that's on Netflix and Amazon and Hulu and stuff like that, right? Netflix spent $13 billion with a B on content in 2018, meaning to acquire content that was exclusively theirs. Amazon shelled out $5 billion, and Hulu gives its subscribers access to about $30 billion worth of original and licensed content. That's big stuff. That's not looking at Disney Plus and Apple TV and like all that stuff. That's a whole lot. Now, Apple's kind of its whole own topic, right? Because they got into the streaming game. They got into TV kind of with a thud. It wasn't really like the ta-da that everybody sort of thought it would be, right? I've talked about this on the air before, that people had a little bit higher hopes and some of their original content got some not great ratings. But nonetheless, you know, but for Apple, that's doing something completely out of their wheelhouse, right? Apple's making electronics and primarily driven by the iPhone. Here they're like, okay, we're going to go totally different and get into content. That's a different realm for them. So, so we shall see. Curtis, do you have, of all the streaming services, you mentioned Hulu.
Yep.
What are the other ones that you said Disney Plus.
Okay. Yeah.
There's a lot. I mean,
just those two in general.
When people say Disney Plus, people, I think at first were like, Disney, why don't I need Disney? I don't have kids. No.
A ton of stuff on there.
Disney owns everything.
Yeah.
Disney's got it all.
Well, I'm a big Marvel fan, so I like going back and watching the Iron Man series, Captain America.
Totally.
All that stuff, and even like the Avengers movies too.
Yeah.
I mean, of course they have like the classic Disney stuff. I mean, they have like The Simpsons, they have National Geographic. I mean, there's a ton of stuff on there that you can easily get access to and take advantage of.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. What is the show you're binge watching right now?
South Park, to be honest.
I did not expect that answer from you.
I
you
like
seem
South
like such
Park.
A wholesome person to me, Curtis.
Yeah, there's a lot of things
that
people
is
don't know.
Not, that is not a wholesome show. I mean, I say that, and I know that because I am a South Park watcher.
I like South Park because of the way that they attack kind of like current events, and especially when their seasons are new, they kind of... Like, they made fun of Disney Plus, like, right when it came out.
Right.
And which I thought was very entertaining. But they also tack on, like, a bunch of other issues, which is just, in general, very funny.
And they're, equal opportunity about it.
Yeah.
Nobody has escaped ridicule.
Yeah, exactly.
On South Park. Everybody has been made fun of on
yeah,
that show.
Yeah, everybody's been
made fun of.
And
every group has pretty equally been made fun of.
But besides that, I don't really watch a lot of other TV besides like a few stuff like South Park or The Simpsons, or I'll watch like a Marvel movie or something like that. But usually because part of my job here at the station is working in sports with the Sox and the Blackhawks. Those are the two teams that I mainly help with around here. So I watch a lot of those games when it becomes available, or I'll hop on and I'll play a little PlayStation or whatever to kind of pass the time too. But I don't usually watch a lot of regular cable TV, or I'll watch another out-of-market sports game if it interests me.
So the TV that you have, what is your setup? Do you have an antenna on it?
No, it's all through a cable box. The whole building has RCN. So it's all
So it's all through cable
box. It's all through cable box,
Got it. Is it smart TV, or do you watch streaming on a laptop?
I can watch Hulu on the laptop. I have Disney Plus through my PlayStation, which connects onto my big screen TV.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I know Netflix is like the same thing. There was a lady that was saying, how do you get, you know, your smart TV to play like those apps and everything like that? Or how to like play like Netflix or whatever on your smart TV. They're all like apps on your smart TV that you just have to access. I know for like me, my PlayStation, I can subscribe to it on my PlayStation. And then wherever I take my PlayStation and move it to, it's saved on the system.
Yeah.
So when I log in, I could take it to like my parents' house back home and still access all the shows and streaming stuff there.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, that makes sense.
So it's saved onto my system.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. I need to talk to people next about like, what is the media streaming device? Like, do you have a Roku or do you do this through PlayStation or whatever? You know, the other, I was looking at, there's a lot, if you Google how to cut the cord cable, there's a ton of guides out there that are really interesting. And one thing that a couple of them said that I thought was really useful is like, you can still find basically everything. It's just in a different way.
Yeah.
If rather than looking for shows, like now if you have cable, you're going to pick up your remote, you're going to scroll. Okay, it's 7 o'clock. What's on right now? You're going to scroll through. Oh, there's my show. Or you're going to, oh, it's time for the show I like. Scroll, find it, go. It's more that you'll look for the channel. Right. You're either going to look more specifically for the show through its original, like through Netflix, or you will look more specifically. Like, here's the, Comcast Sports thing. Right.
Yeah.
You'll go more to that source. So their point was it's not better or worse. It's just you're going to have to. It's like a different workflow you have to kind of get used to. Who knows? I really want to make my TV last until it just falls apart. It's getting darn close.
It's like a car.
That's exactly. I am that person. Like I had a car that I once had the bumper held on with duct tape. Like I really drove that car until it literally set on fire. That car set on fire. Anyway, holy moly, it's time to take a break, Curtis. We got to go because we got things to do in the 3 o'clock hour, especially talking about healthcare. There's a lot of stuff here. I can't wait to get into it. We've got a guest joining us by phone. It's going to be good. All right. Back in just a bit. 720 WGN. WGN. Hi there, it's Amy Guth. I'm not the White Sox. I'm sorry. Happy to be with you, though. It is raining cats and dogs in Arizona, so the White Sox and many other games have been canceled, postponed, etc. Still not sure. We don't have any confirmation on what the story is with the Cubs game. They're scheduled to be 7:10. Is that right, Curtis? 7:10. He's nodding. Yes. All right. So we will keep you updated on that as we know. But right now, We are joined by a very special guest by phone. That is Al Lewis, who is the co-founder and CEO of Quizify. He's also an author whose bestseller on outcomes measurement called Why Nobody Believes the Numbers was once named Healthcare Book of the Year in Forbes. Al, welcome to the program. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, thank you very much for having me out.
Oh, I appreciate you taking the time to stop by on a Saturday and talk it through with us. Well, let's start by talking a bit about your company and what it is that you do.
Well, Quizify it educates employees on how to access the healthcare system, and we do it using what we call Jeopardy meets Health Education meets Comedy Central,
a
quiz competition. And you kind of play the game, and as you're playing the game, you learn stuff you didn't know about healthcare.
Sounds good to me. So there was a recent New York Times article that you were quoted in, and it was talking about surprise bills, which is, I know that is like an important conversation and a big topic. People have a lot of feelings about that topic because you go to the doctor and you're like, what, $200 for an Advil? I could have gotten that out of my purse. But that's only kind of the tiniest little example of that. That can be huge, huge ramifications. Tell me about that topic.
Well, it's exactly what you said. You go and you think you're going to someplace that's in-network, but what you don't realize is that the so-called ologists that are contracted by that in-network facility are often out-of-network and can bill you essentially whatever they want. And you go home and you find that you got stitches in an ER, but they called the plastic surgeon, and the plastic surgeon wasn't in-network. So instead of paying $100, you're paying $10,000.
And it's one of those things that I think we feel like, well, I needed the care. I didn't really have a choice. But this article in the New York Times, which for those of you who follow me on Twitter, I will tweet it out after the program so you can read it for yourself. It's really thought-provoking, really interesting. This article kind of says otherwise, that there maybe you do have a little more power than you think in these situations.
You have much more power than you think, provided that it's an emergency. So if you go to an emergency room, have an emergency admission, emergency labor and delivery, there is a federal law, an obscure federal law, that protects you if you say to them, I'm not going to pay whatever you want me to pay. I am willing to pay this rate, and you have to treat me.
What has been the reaction that you've seen so far to that New York Times piece? Has this kind of kicked up some conversation that you've seen?
Oh, my goodness. I would like to say the phone's ringing off the hook, but nobody actually calls anymore.
Right.
The emails are ringing off the hook.
Yeah.
Our postings on LinkedIn, the downloads, we actually have the specific language that you should write in if you go to an emergency room. We have it right on our website, and you can download it free.
What is the gist of that language?
Well, actually, not even the gist. I can give you the actual language.
Oh, even better.
I consent to appropriate treatment, which means they can't, like, bill you for a pregnancy test if you're 60 years old, kind of, or if you're male. You know?
Okay, right.
I consent to appropriate treatment and, including applicable insurance payments, to be responsible for reasonable charges up to 2 times the Medicare rate. Now, Medicare pays a very low rate to these places, and you're saying you're willing to pay twice that number, which is still going to be a very reasonable rate. They'll make a little bit of money, but you'll be protected from surprise medical bills.
I feel like a lot of people should know that, but also, if that is a right we have, how is that not just a standard? How is that not part of the standard language when you go into a hospital?
Well, because they can charge you whatever they want, provided you sign the consent. And they put the consent typically on an iPad now, so it's very easy just to sign it. What you have to say is you have to say, print it out, and you scratch out the financial piece, and you write in that language instead. In fact, you can actually drop this language right into your iPhone, into your Apple wallet. So you'll have it anytime you have an emergency. I mean, assuming you have your Apple iPhone, anytime you have an emergency.
That's very good advice, because the next thing I was going to say was, but now you got to remember that in an emergency when you're already kind of, you know, discombobulated. But if you've got it there on your phone, go, okay, I need to remember to do this. It will save me a lot of grief and heartache, potentially bankruptcy. I mean, people have unbelievable stories connected to medical bills. That could save a lot of grief later.
It can save a lot of grief later. Not only do you have it on your, you have it in your Apple wallet, but if you go to this site and you can tweet out Well, I'll send you the exact URL to tweet out. If you go to the site, you can also download it in a one-page format that actually you can cut into 8 little consent pieces of paper, and you can put them on your bicycle, on your motorcycle, in your glove compartment, essentially any place you think you're going to have an emergency. You just take it out, and you actually can sign it and give it to them, and there's not a darn thing they can do about it. Now, here's what they can do about it. They can say, we have to treat you by law. This is an emergency. And we have to treat you exactly the same way we treat anybody else, but we're not going to sign that. And you say, fine, I'm not signing yours either, but I consent to treatment. Then what happens is they can theoretically send you a big bill. You could go to small claims court or regular court or wherever when they sue you, and you can say, look, I offered to pay 2 times Medicare. And the judge will say, wow, 2 times Medicare, but they wanted to charge you $100,000. I'm going to rule in favor of you. That's never going to happen, because wiser heads at the hospital will prevail, and they'll say, whoa, if we go to court and we lose this one case, it will be in the newspaper, and every single person will come in here and want that exact consent.
Indeed. Right. And nobody wants that to happen.
Right. Well, not at the hospital.
Not at the hospitals, anyway. Right. Certainly not. Yeah. Very interesting. Very thought-provoking stuff here. We're going to take a break, but I have many more questions for you, Al. So I hope you don't mind sticking with us a little bit longer. We're talking with Al Lewis, co-founder and CEO of Quizify. I'm going to tweet out links to this after the program so you can check out this site and find that language he's talking about, because now I think everyone should carry it. I feel like I'm going to hand it out to people. That sounds very, very important to have with you at all times. All right. Back in just a bit here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. It's Amy Guth in with you till 5 o'clock. Thanks so much for being with us. We've been talking with Al Lewis, who is co-founder and CEO of Quizify. If you follow me on Twitter, I will tweet out a link to this after the program, because this is really, really interesting. There's a lot of consternation in the world, and I'm with you completely on the cost of healthcare. It is, kind of cringy when you're like, oh, I hate to go to the doctor and spend the money if you don't absolutely have to, right? But in an emergency, you kind of have to go to the hospital, right? It's a thing. So what do? You feel like you're kind of at the mercy of like, oh my gosh, this is going to cost a fortune. I hope I am in the right network. I hope that my insurance bill doesn't clobber me. I hope this doesn't, throw us into bankruptcy. These are real things that can happen. Well, Quizify has some answers for you. This is really interesting conversation. I've really been enjoying talking with you about this, Al. So we were talking about this language you can use in that situation when you sign consent forms, simply crossing something off. Someone texted in from the 847 area code. I thought this was a really smart idea of cutting that language out and taping it to the back of your insurance card. That's a very smart idea, I thought. Good one, 847. Good call on that.
Well, actually, 847 is I actually have done that. And what I will do, Amy, is I will actually send you a copy of my insurance card with a clear, it'll have a little clear thing on it that we got printed up by Avery that we stuck onto the card. So yes, 847, you're spot on.
That's a good idea. Yeah, you could print it off on a little sticker. There you go. So smart. So smart. Okay. So really what we're talking about is healthcare literacy, right? And really kind of thinking of the rights you have, the things you can do. What are some other things that your company is helping to educate people about?
Well, actually, a lot of companies, to be honest, are diseducating people. And in fact, in preparation for this interview, I went on to the employees of the city of Chicago complete. It's called a Real Age, something or other, realage.com. And I filled it out, and they gave me advice, and a lot of the advice was just plain and simply incorrect. I mean, the opposite of what you should do. It was horrifying. And I can give you a few examples. They told me to take a daily baby aspirin, but I'm low risk for heart attack, and if you're low risk for heart attack, it's the literature, the research is overwhelming that your risk of a baby aspirin is much greater than the benefit, because if you're in an accident, sometimes you see, like you're watching one of those, hospital TV shows, and somebody says, he's a bleeder.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's
a blood thinner, right?
Yeah, it's a blood thinner, right? So your risk of bleeding out or having a small bruise become a big one is vastly greater if you take the advice that City of Chicago employees were given. And there were a couple other things like that as well. So I urge employees of large organizations to take all of this wellness nonsense that they give you with a grain of salt. Ironically, salt really isn't so bad for most people. But let me give you some specific examples of things that you should know.
Yeah, please do.
If you go to Quizify.com, you can play like four sample questions, and I'm going to, spoiler alert, I'm going to give you the answers here. One of the classics is granola bars. There are people, many people think they're healthy. What they do two things to disguise the amount of sugar they have in them. They're basically candy bars. And yet, in many break rooms, they have them, you know, available for employees free, because somebody has decided that they're healthy. Well, there's two things they do. One is they, instead of listing sugar as the first ingredient, they, if you'll pardon the pun, they sprinkle different kinds of sugars deep in the ingredients label where you don't see them. So you read the first ingredient, it looks healthy. The other thing they do, and I'll name names, it's actually a company in the Chicago area, Clif Bar. So the first ingredient in a Clif Bar is it's organic brown rice syrup. Well, you know, you read that, you say, cool, organic, cool, brown rice, that's great. No, anytime something says syrup on it, it's sugar.
Right.
So that would be example number one. Example number two, and this is one of these things of why didn't anybody tell me this? You get a cavity, particularly a small cavity or a kid's cavity or something like that, and the dentist will tell you, well, we're going to have to drill this and fill it, and, you know, it'll cost, I don't know, $100, $125. What they don't tell you is that there is a legitimate, effective, FDA-approved treatment used all over the world called silver diamine fluoride, or SDF, that all you do is essentially paint it onto a cavity, and it ends the cavity. The cavity stops growing, it freezes it into place, and you don't have to worry about it anymore. And it works two-thirds of the time, and it costs $25 to $30 a treatment with no needles, no drilling, no pain, and essentially no time involved.
So if that's used widely, why isn't that used more? Well, if it's used widely, why isn't it used more widely? Do you know what I mean?
Well, it is used. Like if you went to Japan and you had a cavity and you said, I guess I have to get it drilled, even if you said it in Japanese, they knew what you're saying. They'd look at you very funny, you know? Why would you want to do that? Let's do SDF.
So outside the U.S., it's used widely.
Used very widely. In the U.S., because the reimbursement is set so low, the dentists don't have an incentive to recommend that. Now, having said that, about one out of every 10 dentists will recommend it, and actually my dentist uses it. But essentially everybody who takes this quiz question, you know, we do this for employees in Chicagoland, not a huge number, but a fair number. And only about 7% get it right on the first try. And then when we ask it again a year later, because we ask the questions a year later that employees missed a year earlier, that 7 goes up to about 70%, because this is something people remember and they put to work right away.
Well, anytime you can avoid having a drill in your mouth, I think people are going to file that one away for sure.
Yeah. It's not the kind of thing you forget.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
Absolutely. And then the third sample.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Amy? No. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. The third sample question is about CAT scans. And the question is, how does the radiation in the CAT scan compare to the radiation in an X-ray? Your choices are 500 times as much, 5 times as much, about the same, or ha-ha, that's a trick question. Everyone knows CAT scans don't have radiation. What do you think the answer is?
I don't know. I hope it doesn't. No, I know it does. I would say probably about the same and hope that that's
right. 500 times as much.
Holy moly.
Between 100 and 1,000 times as much. They don't tell you that. Frankly, a lot of doctors don't know themselves, I don't think, because the FDA about 10 years ago specifically said that the doctors, the manufacturers did not have to disclose it to the doctors. But when you know that, there are still times that you're going to get a CAT scan, but suddenly you're not going to go in and demand CAT scans anymore. And if the doctor says to you, well, let's do a CAT scan just to be safe, you say, well, isn't there a lot of radiation in there? You know, do I really need it? And it's especially true for children, Amy. The last thing you want to do, unless you really need it, is have a CAT scan on a child.
Well, I've had a CAT scan in my life, and now I'm really worried about now I'm
well, that, Amy, you're fine with one. You're fine with two. You're fine with three. The thing about it is with radiation exposure, your risk goes up exponentially at some point, and nobody's really sure of the exact point. But I just wouldn't be making a one out of every three. I wouldn't be doing them more than once a decade unless you. I mean, I've had three in my life. Every single one of them, if I had known about this radiation, I would have said no thank you, and I would have been just fine. They were all unnecessary.
Yeah, mine was pretty necessary. I was in a pretty major car crash, and it was, we needed to know some answers because I got jostled pretty good. So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you're in a car crash. I mean, this is the kind of thing where if you had the glove compartment, your consent form right in the glove compartment, with your dying breath, you could reach and grab it and give it to the EMT. Oh, hey, that's the other thing. These ambulances and these air ambulances will also rip you off totally. So you got to be really careful of them too.
Al, you're making me rethink my whole life and everything I think that I know. There's so much information on your site.
You know, this is what we do at Quizify. We say wiser employees make healthier decisions.
Yeah.
Amy, if you have enough time, I got one more for you.
I do. We got a couple minutes. Let's hear it.
Okay. So the fourth question, right, once again, right on the homepage, you don't have to pay, no cookies, nothing, just play the game, is, they took Zantac off the market a few months ago because there's some slight chance of causing cancer.
Right.
And as a result, the sales of Nexium and Prilosec and Prevacid have gone way, they were already high, and they've gone way up. Now, the thing about those drugs is that if you take them every day, taking Zantac every day is fine. No one, except the fact that it apparently causes cancer, no one has ever found any health issues with it. Well, these drugs, they're called proton pump inhibitors. If you take them every day, it is suspected that your risk of heart attacks, bone fractures, vitamin B12 deficiency, magnesium deficiency, kidney issues, these things can all go way up. And you might say, gosh, this Al Lewis sounds like a conspiracy theory. No, it's right on the label. Right on the label, it says, only take these drugs for X number of weeks and then discontinue for X number of months before you start taking them again. So in this case, we can't blame the evil pharmaceutical companies. They got it right. But the thing is, people take these drugs for a couple of weeks, Amy, mm-hmm. and they work, so they keep taking them.
That's it. Oh, I know people that take that kind of thing daily. They're like, oh, I get a little acid reflux. I just take it every day.
I would have show them the Quizify website
and
suggest Tums or Rolaids.
Yeah.
Or if you put your bed on an incline, like you stick a few books under the head of the bed so it slants about 8 degrees, that should help with nighttime indigestion.
So interesting. This is interesting stuff. For those of you, a couple of people were texting in saying, wait, what is this? It's Quizify.com. Quiz, Quizify.com. Two Z's there, Quizify.com. And we're talking with Al Lewis, who is the co-founder and CEO. Al, you have blown my mind with all this information. This is such good stuff. Everybody, head to the website for sure. And if you follow me on Twitter, I'm going to be tweeting out a link to this and how you can get in touch with Al and hook it all up and learn more. Al, thank you so much. This is such good information you've shared with us today.
Well, you're quite welcome, Amy, and thank you for having me on. And as much as I'd like to see the White Sox win against everybody except for my Red Sox, I'm glad they got rained out.
Thank you, Al. I appreciate it. All right. Have a good one.
You too, Amy. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. So much information there. A lot of stuff to sit with. Again, that's Quizify.com with two Z's, Quizify.com. And we were talking with Al Lewis, who is the co-founder and CEO. So much information there. Kind of confirmed some hunches I had about some stuff. So good to talk to him. Well, we need to take a break. Lots to talk about on the other side of this break. Back in just a bit here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. It's Amy Guth. Not White Sox. It's Amy Guth. Sorry, I'm not White Sox. That game got rained out because it is real stormy if you look at the radar. Arizona, not so much. No word on the Cubs yet. We will let you know. 7-10 game, as far as we know for now. All right. Very interesting information that we were just talking with Al Lewis, who is the co-founder and CEO of Quizify. Again, that's Quizify. A lot of you were texting going, what? I want to know more about this. Please do go there. That's a really interesting site. There's a lot of stuff and the format is pretty fun. So Curtis, I want to shift topics a little bit to a topic that people think is real taboo.
Uh-oh.
It is possibly one of the most taboo topics.
Well, there's a lot out there.
There are a lot, but this one is a big one. I know people that will talk about sexy time before they'll talk about this topic. And that is money. People, oh, right?
Yeah.
People are weird talking about money.
Some of it rightfully so.
Some of it rightfully so, but here's the thing. So recently, I overheard two guys talking, kind of an older guy and a younger guy. I don't think they were related, but I didn't ask any questions, so I can neither confirm nor deny.
Right? Yeah, maybe a mentor.
Yeah, seemed like a boss mentor kind of type and a younger guy. But he was talking about kind of, hey, what's the best advice or piece of wisdom you've ever gotten about money? So what I gathered was the mentor guy has done well, and the younger guy was getting information from him. That's kind of what I gathered through my expert eavesdropping. And speaking of following me on Twitter, those of you who follow me on Twitter know that I enjoy a good eavesdrop because I'm always like quoting just random snippets of text that I hear like in line at the grocery store. Cause I'll be like the writer in me will be like, what in the world are they talking about with this one little? So I said to the Monsignor, what?
Like, or when you're sitting at like a Starbucks.
Yeah, you'll just
whatever.
Hear the weirdest yeah. little thing. I think the best ever when I realized like, wow, the 90s were not 10 years ago. I was hearing a date happening behind me to not kids, but young adults having some kind of like blind date situation at a Starbucks. And they started talking about Nirvana. And the woman said, like, well, no, I was just like 2 years old when Smells Like Teen Spirit came out. And I was like, what? Oh, wait, that's possible. Wait a minute. I was like, what a pervert. Oh, wait, no, she's a grown woman. She's not a child at all. Hang on a minute. So there's that. But nonetheless, I've been thinking about that. Like, well, because I heard a little bit of advice, but not a ton. So I'm curious, what is the best money advice you ever heard, or like the wise most aha moment with, you know, if you like follow all those kind of blogs, you'll see stuff like, oh, make sure you save 10% of everything you earn and pay your bills on time. Don't run up credit card debt. Like there's the things we all know. But did you ever have like a relative or a mentor just give you a piece of advice? You're like, holy moly, I never thought about that.
You know, it's kind of interesting. I'll say like from my family's perspective, my mom always taught me, my sister and I are both on like two opposite ends of the like money spectrum. I save
in
a
terms
lot.
Of,
my yeah. sister spends.
Okay. So I was saying
like
in terms of habits.
If my
yeah.
sister found like a quarter on the ground, she wouldn't save it. She would go to like the gumball machine and use it. You know
okay.
what I mean? Whereas if I found that quarter on the ground, I'd put it in my piggy bank and, you yeah. know, save it for later.
Yeah.
But from what I always was told is like when you earn a lot, yeah, you save a lot. But if you, actually like put some of your money like aside into like a separate account
like beyond savings
okay. savings and just kind of like as like an emergency sort of thing, if you will, just to kind of have that reserve there for any sort of situation that comes about. Like for example, when the housing market crashed and mm-hmm. stuff several years ago, our family actually moved into a different house like I want to say like 8 months before that all happened. And like in hindsight, if we would have known that it was trending that way and really going to crash the way it did, we would have never moved into that new house.
Mm-hmm.
But with all that being said, having an extra source of revenue or money kind of stowed away and as a just in case sort of thing, because you never know what could happen in the in the future. So just kind of always saving and having. Even like, you know, how people say like, oh, yeah, put my money in my mattress, you know,
right.
whatever sort of thing. That sort of was always stuck with me is like just save a lot. And then also like I had to learn, too, when I moved out of my folks' house, when I moved down here to the city to properly budget,
mm-hmm.
Especially that part being an adult because living at home until, you know, I was 24, 25.
Oh, okay.
And then finally
suddenly
moving here
like,
and I'm like, all right, well,
oh boy.
Now that I'm living by myself, I have to figure out. All right, when can I, like, you know, treat myself and order out dinner, but,
yeah.
you know, having to learn to save money, which I've done pretty well, I would say, mm-hmm. but also at the same time figuring out, all right, I have this much money to spend, like, to go out and grab drinks with friends,
yeah.
you know, and whatnot, but if I go past that, then I really can't spend anything next month to kind of make that up,
mm-hmm.
if you will.
Do you cook at home?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. See, that's a big... I'm kind of... I hate to be this, like... this crabby old lady. I hate to do this, but I've got to. I'm kind of alarmed and stunned by the amount of people in their 20s, 30s that don't know how to cook.
Yeah.
I'm kind of shocked by that.
They didn't make it, like, mandatory in...
No one made it mandatory for me.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is, like, they didn't make it, like, mandatory, like, to learn about taxes and stuff like that growing up. Like, I learned more through my parents about taxes and handling that whole process than I did. Like, it wasn't taught in high school. Like, hey...
Is anybody...
I don't know. There was a class in when I was in high school that was offered, but it wasn't, like, again, mandatory.
That's
which I think, like, those sort of things should be. Yeah, exactly. Because
there should be, like, a class that's, like, Adulting 101.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's how to make a budget. Here's how to pay your taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how to not be an idiot and mess it up.
Yeah.
Here's, like, how to, I don't know, register to vote and, like, I'm trying to think, what's a real pain that you have to figure out how to do the hard way? I feel like all the red tape things are hard. The first time you do it, you're like, what am I doing?
Like, I'd rather learn how to budget and, I'd rather learn how to budget and, properly, like, maintain like a good taxing, like, credit score than knowing to find, like, where's X in the Pythagorean theorem or something like
right.
that. You know what
I would
mean?
Use that way more than that. right. Instead of this calculus two, maybe you could teach me tax stuff. Yeah, that's not a bad call. There should be, like, you could get some extra credit for, like, Adulting 101. That would be, because then, you know, we wouldn't see so many people tweeting that adulting is hard.
Yeah.
I refuse to ever tweet that. I cannot stand that phrase because it brings out, like, the crabby old lady in me. Because it's like, look, it's not easy for anybody, but we're doing it, aren't we? We're getting through it. We're working it out together. Like, don't complain. It's a thing.
Well, and the other thing, too, is, like, there are some businesses that aren't even taking cash anymore.
Yeah.
So that becomes kind of more interesting with, like, credit cards and, you know, everything kind of like that. So,
you know, that brings up a really interesting side topic that when I first, because I don't usually carry cash because I have been robbed before.
Okay.
Right. And at the time I was waitressing and that was such a big financial hit. So I was like, oh, rent's due this weekend. And it was the thing. Also, I don't like cash at home because when I was a kid, our house burned.
Oh.
Right. So I've got two pieces of baggage here about, like, I need my money where I can, like, not have paper money destroyed and no record of it, right?
Yeah.
Like, I need so that if I get, like, credit card fraud, I can recoup that because it bothers me. I worry about losing dollars.
Yeah.
So that said, when businesses started moving to, you know, electronic payments only, I was like, fine with me. I don't really care. That's no big deal. That's easy for me because I never use cash. That's fine. But then there was an interesting op-ed that I read that made a very good point that I thought, you know what? I'm going to reconsider my point on this. I think we shouldn't make things cash-free because people that don't have access to banking, that maybe rely on, like, more money orders or, like, a check cashing place, that don't have banks, people that maybe, like, have some mistrust with banks, that kind of excludes them from shopping at that place.
Got it.
And so it becomes kind of a...
That kind of makes sense.
It's like a class thing, right? At that point, if someone doesn't have a bank... Like, okay, that's, you know, that's fair. Everybody has the right to shop at this store. It's usually, like, I think Argo Tea was the first place that I saw that went cash free. So it's like, everybody has the right to go get a cup of tea. Fine.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
For me, it was when I was at school in college, it was the Epic Burger on South State Street, right by the University Center by Columbia College
and
DePaul.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was right there when I walked in and I handed the person a 20 and they're like, oh no, we take cards only now. I was like, oh, okay. Which was fine because I had my credit card on me. But even still finding those sort of things out when certain businesses go to, like, only cash free or cash only. And I know, like, for a lot of places that are still take cash only, which some of it is, like, part of the charm of the place. Like, for example, if you go out to, like, Gene and Jude's or something, they take cash only. And again, that's part of, like, the charm of going out to a place like that.
I know, but it's always when you're like, oh, that's right, it's cash only, I gotta go to the ATM.
Yeah, and then you have to pay the ATM fee.
ATM fee, and it's a whole thing.
All that, yeah.
I'm thinking of, what is that place? Half Shell in Lincoln Park on Diversity, that place, cash only, and you walk in there and you're like, yes, oh, right, rats, I'm gonna do this whole thing. Okay, well, there's a piece, I will tweet this out after the program, but there is a piece, and if you would like to share some good money advice that you got somewhere along the way, even if it's something simple, even if it's just maybe it's more about the sweet memory than the advice, let's hear it. 312-981-7200. There's a Business Insider piece that I thought was kind of interesting, pretty easy ones, but kind of the less the less common ones. The first one is common, and that's pay yourself first, certainly. Two, beware of lifestyle creep. That's a big one because it's easy to like, okay, I'm doing okay. I'm going to, let's go throw back to an earlier topic, upgrade my cable. And then you like, okay, I'm going to get a new car. And then suddenly you're like, holy moly, I've got all these bills. What am I doing? Right. I think that's a great piece of advice. Like, be mindful of, you know, you add a bill here and there and suddenly you're like, yee, that's a lot. That's a lot of stuff. Invest in the stock market. Just don't try to time it. And on that note, I think there's a thing that I hear a lot when I've interviewed financial people on the station, and that is trying to make super emotional decisions about the stock market. Like if you have a stock, there's going to be ebb and flow. And if you, every time it ticks down a point and you freak out and take your money out, you're going to end up totally messing it all up. Like there's a, you know, it'll average out. Relax, take a breath. If it's a huge drop, okay, yeah, maybe that's a thing. But it's going to kind of ebb and flow throughout the month.
A text from the 870. My dad gave me advice that was good for this, but not good for today. He told me to only pay cash for things now that I have and not bad but insufficient credit. Can't buy a car or property.
Mm. Somebody said one time something like... it was a guest I was talking to. Let me think about who it was. That text reminded me of this. It was something like, don't put anything on a credit card that you won't have with you in 6 months. Meaning like, don't put a restaurant bill on a credit card. So it was like only the, like if you need to finance a TV or a piece of furniture or something like that. But if you won't have it in 6 months, don't bother putting on a credit card unless it's an emergency. That's kind of reasonable advice, I think. Build an emergency fund. That's what you were talking about earlier, Curtis. That's an important one. Pay off your credit card balance in full every month or as close as you can. Don't carry a big balance. Much easier said than done, but good advice. This was interesting. Don't sit on too much savings. Which sounds counterintuitive, but the idea is if you have just like gobs and gobs of savings, you should do something else with that. Like put that in a retirement account or maybe a little in the stock market, something like that. Also, I don't know that I've ever had this advice explicitly said to me, but it makes sense. Have more than one credit card.
That I don't, I only have one credit card right now, but I don't charge it a lot. So it's like not a big deal,
right.
But I get the purpose of why or the benefit of having more than one.
Right. So part of it is like your credit ratio of how much credit to open space, you know, your how much credit you're actually using in relation to how much you could be using. But part of that also is it might seem kind of reckless to have just like a wallet full of tons of credit cards and a bunch of open accounts. And sure, you don't want to be jacking those balances up. But in theory, if you have some open accounts and you're not using them all, it's going to show that you have a bigger swath of available credit, even if you're not using all of that. So that's some financial advice. Certainly pay off high interest debt first. That's a good piece of advice you should just be doing. You know, when you think about like paying off a debt, you might go, okay, well, I got to pay this one off first because it seems more urgent or something like that. Try to prioritize that higher interest debt because getting eaten alive with interest rates is no fun. Always be insured. That is super important. Super important, not just for peace of mind, but so you don't, you can't, you, it's harder to like, oh my gosh, I've lost everything. If you're well insured, you cannot be running around. And I mean, insure all the stuff yourself, like disability insurance, things like that. Track your spending. That's a hard one to do because it's kind of it's not fun necessarily to sit down and enter it all. I do. That's a habit I acquired later, but I have like a spreadsheet and I put it all in there just because it's like a spreadsheet formula. So therefore I kind of can see where I'm on track for the month and go, okay, I'm doing all right this month.
219 says, start saving and investing young. Take advantage of the value of time and compounding interest.
Heck yeah. That's real good advice. And I'd say get some life insurance young too, because it's much harder to get when you're older, that's for sure. Yeah, save even a little bit. I mean, there have been points for sure where it's like, okay, it's money's tight, it's hard to do, get it. But I've also been like, you know what, $5 a week I can just like automatically have that put over into savings. That's whatever that is. I think that's really important.
847 texter, I only use my credit card at the same four establishments, otherwise I use cash. I also use gift cards for online purchases or establishments that only accept credit cards.
At the same four establishments?
Yeah.
That's so interesting. I would love to know, if you're still listening, person who sent that text, I would love to know, what are the four places, if they're like restaurants or department stores, like what is that? That's very interesting. I want to know more about this.
630, my grandfather was a World War II Marine. He was tough on his children. My mom was tough on me. Now I live a minimalist life. Mm. Is it a need or is it a want?
Yeah, that's an important
when they
one.
Think about purchasing something. Deanna, having two credit cards is wise in the case of one becomes lost or compromised.
Mm, that's also a good reason to have more than one.
847, only spend the interest, never the principal.
Mm, that's really good. That's also a good theory at a slot machine or whatever you do for gambling if you're in a casino. I'll go like, okay, if you know you're in Vegas or somewhere, you're like, okay, my budget is $30 of just... I can afford to lose that and whatever. So, or whatever that is. And then as soon as I make up, like, okay, I'm at more than my bank would give me, I'll put that back and just play on interest. So I'm like, okay, my principal's safe. Now I'll play on my interest. I do that. That's like my slot machine strategy. I'm sure that's not what that texter meant, but I took it there. That's what happened. All right. We've got a caller waiting, but we need to take a break. So I will take that call as soon as we get back in just a bit. I'm going to say that again, back in just a bit to finish this conversation, talking all about money advice that you have gotten in your life that is working out for you. 312-981-7200, back in just a bit on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, hello, it's Amy Guth. We've been talking about money, in particular, good money advice you've gotten, or maybe terrible money advice you've gotten. I'll take that too. Eileen has been waiting so patiently. She's calling from Buffalo Grove. Hi, Eileen, you're on WGN.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. You have a funny story about cash you'd like to share?
Yeah, you know, I have a daughter who's I've got several kids, but my 30-year-old daughter teases me all the time because I carry cash and credit cards. We were going on a Sunday to a Chicago Fire game in two separate cars. We pulled in the parking lot. We paid the $20 in cash to park and then waited forever for them to come. Eventually got a phone call saying, we don't carry cash. We had to find an ATM. So the joke was on her.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't always use credit cards for everything. So
I know. That's
all
so right.
I wanted to say.
No,
yeah.
You're totally right. I feel like every time I've been in a cash-only situation, I'm like, oh, that's right. Oh, darn it. I gotta, and then you got to scramble and find an ATM, pay the fee, do all that stuff. Indeed.
For sure.
Indeed.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks so much for the
all
call,
right,
Eileen.
Thanks. Great
right.
topic. You're
Thank
welcome.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff here. Curtis, any other texts we should be seeing as people are weighing in on this topic all about money?
The person responded with the four establishments.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Walmart, Jewel, Menards, and an auto mechanic shop.
That's really interesting. Also, that has like its own element of fraud protection in there, right? Because
a little bit, yeah.
If there's something else, you're like, I know that was not me because I use my cards in four spots. Thank you so much.
Another text from the 312, make the maximum 401k contributions and go with Roth instead of traditional.
Mm-hmm.
Pay every bill you possibly can with a credit card, even your rent, mortgage, etc. Pay off the balance is monthly. At the end of the year, you could have $300 or $400 worth of rewards or cash back.
Yeah.
Just for paying bills in that way. I know for me, like that happened. I had probably about $450 of rewards money that I hadn't spent yet, and I used it for the month of December. Because for holiday shopping,
oh, there
it's
you go.
Going to be higher than all the others.
Absolutely, yeah. So. If you have a cashback thing, only their check because my landlord does online payments, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it's an e-check, it's free. If it is a credit card payment, though, they charge you $40.
Oh, okay.
So watch out for that one.
Yeah,
read the fine print. But yeah, that's good advice. If as long as you're disciplined enough to do it. If you're just like, I'm going to let that roll, and then you got a couple months of bills on your credit card, that's going to be a problem real fast.
Yeah.
You don't want that interest eating you up. But yeah, that's good advice,
yeah.
Especially if you've got that cash back.
And that's it so far.
Yeah, those are good. These are good advice. You know, I think another interesting topic is like asking people about where they kind of got their lessons around money. Because here's the thing. We often say things like, oh, it's just business. It's not emotional. It's only business. Da, da, da. No, baloney. Because... a lot. If you read, for example, go find a news story about something that happened in the stock market. It will be filled with words like on fears of blank happening. you know, this happened in the stock market, or on hopes of this, really emotional language. Like, so we say it's just business, but in fact, tons of emotions wrapped up in money.
708 wondering, what happened to cash is king?
I know. What happened to cash is king? Well, I mean, for me, it's about I'm afraid of being robbed again. I recognize that's a little wacky. That's my baggage.
But a reasonable answer, though.
That's right. Also, it's harder to track, right? Because you're like, oh, where did I put that 20 down? Oh, where's the, you know, where did I spend that? Because it's easier to just be like, oh, I bought, you know, gum here or whatever. I bought a bottle of water.
Yeah.
And then you're like, where did I spend that? You know, and I try to be good about tracking all the money so I see where it went at the end of the month.
But yeah, that's it still.
Those are good pieces of advice. But what I was going to say is I think it's interesting to ask people kind of about like the emotional part of money, of where people got their attitudes about it. Like, what did your mom think about money? What does your dad think about money? My parents, for example, have totally opposite attitudes about money.
Oh, really?
Totally opposite attitudes.
My parents are a little bit more reserved, and I think that's just more so because like it's just some people can get kind of nosy. Mm-hmm. At least like some of the people that we've come across over the years will, they kind of become a little snotty and like judgmental about it. And it's like, well, you don't need to know how much we spend or how much we make.
People have come out and asked your parents that?
Some people have, yeah, in the past.
Oh, I don't know that my parents have ever been asked that. But probably, I wouldn't say anyone's ever been like, I wonder if Amy Guth's parents are secret millionaires, because they're not. That's literally not a thing. I think it's interesting. Like, my mom is such a saver and worries about money so much her whole life, right? She's like, if she wants to get, say, a plain white t-shirt, she's going to find the least expensive one because she needs to save the money. My dad will be like, buy the best quality one and you have it forever. They have totally different attitudes about, you know, buying.
It's kind of interesting how each family has like their different like background perspectives of it. Like how your parents are both on the opposite sides of it.
Yep, absolutely. My mom's parents, I didn't really, I never met my dad's father. He died when my dad was a child. And then his mother, I was pretty young. I was like preteen. But my mom's parents, you know, they, I thought it was really interesting to talk to them about money because, you know, they had a lot of things to say in my adulthood, talking to them about it, right? About surviving the Great Depression and what that was like. And, you know, I think it made them both very appreciative of things. But for my grandmother, I think it made her a little bit on, not in the clinical sense, but in the little bit of a hoarding kind of situation, right? Like, not clinically, like her house was immaculately clean, but she would be like, oh, I could probably use that piece of string somewhere else. And she would just like save literally every piece of tissue paper ever presented to her in a gift. And she would like iron it out. Like, I'll reuse that.
Or it's like the like gift wrapping sort of thing.
Oh my God.
You just kind of
do it really carefully.
Slowly take off. Yeah.
Or you get the scissors and you open them up and you just kind of cut the tape.
Yeah.
So it carefully, and then you can iron that thing and reuse the gift wrap. Very eco-friendly. We're not going to fill up the landfill, but holy moly. At some point you're just like, just open the gift. Grandma, just do it. Open the gift, for crying out loud. Right. So there's that.
Another text from a different 847 number. I don't care who you are, every person should carry at least $60 in cash, even if it's folded up and hidden in your wallet for emergencies.
Now, interesting point from that. I don't think that's wrong. I know somebody who, it was interesting because we were talking about, we have both been robbed of cash and it had the opposite effect. In my case, I'm like, okay, I'm scared to carry cash because I lost that money. In my friend's case, it was, you know what? Because I had $100 cash on me, I think that saved my life.
Yeah.
Right. So
that's a good perspective.
So his point was like, I always carry cash. He always has at least $50 on him, so that like he believes that if he hadn't had that money, he might have lost his life there. I think that's a very valid point too. It's funny the things your brain tells you, like, this is what you must do now to protect yourself.
Yeah. Some situations, like if I travel, I'll bring my credit card, but I'll leave my debit card at home.
Okay.
In the case that, like, if my credit card or debit card is, or if I lose my wallet, like, on vacation or something like that, then it's easier to cancel a credit card. But for a debit card, where they can just suck all the money out of that account.
That's an interesting
idea.
So
I usually will keep my debit card at home, but bring my credit card with me.
When was the last time you got a traveler's check on a vacation? Does anybody do that anymore? No.
Me personally, never. But I've only had my credit card for, well, I've had credit cards for probably since I was like 17 or 18 is when my parents started getting me into that.
Okay.
So
Interesting. Interesting stuff. All right. We got to take a break. There's a lot of stuff here because, like I said, this is kind of one of those taboo topics where people, like, sometimes people go, I hope it's okay that I ask, how, you know, about what did you pay for that? Or, you know, people want to kind of tiptoe around money topics. So I thought this was an interesting one. Again, I'm going to tweet out some of the things we referenced a little bit later today if you follow me on Twitter. But we're going to take a break. On the other side of this break, I want to know what you think about what went down with Anderson Cooper and Rob Blagojevich. I want to know about that. So people have a lot of feelings. All right, back in just a bit on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, it's Amy Guth in place of the White Sox. Yes, indeed, the White Sox should be playing right about now. But as I'm sure you have heard, lots of rain, kind of soggy happening in Arizona. So you get me instead. Hope that's an okay trade for you. All right, so I do not want to talk about politics. However, sometimes something so unbelievable happens. And so, whoa, what is that? That you can't help but talk about it a little bit. So last night, Anderson Cooper was talking to former Illinois Governor Rob Blagojevich, who I'm sure you have heard by now was released from prison last week. Very quick turnaround. Like, that announcement happened kind of around lunchtime. He was back in town by that evening. It was very, very quick, and had a press conference happening the next morning. I thought the press conference was interesting because he walks out holding a tissue to his face because he had cut himself shaving. He said, I'm not used to shaving with, you know, good razors because, you know, prison. So he keeps like dotting at his chin because he's bleeding. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is Anderson Cooper talked to him and people have a lot of feelings about it. Let's listen to it, but then I want to hear from you about what you think about this interview. Let's hear this.
You talking about, you know, commuting, you get a commutation of a sentence, which is within the president's right, but you ignored a whole hell of a lot of other people who are hoping you might give them clemency when you actually matter. So actually,
well,
you know what?
Question,
I'm happy to, it wasn't a question, it was a statement. I'd be happy to work with people on criminal justice reform, but I wouldn't work with you.
Okay, can I answer that statement and question? Okay, I'd like to address that. Look, when you've been put where I was and you have all the time that I was given to think and look back on some of the things you might have done different, that's certainly an area that you talked about that I certainly wish I would have done more on. There's no question about that.
Fair enough.
Among my biggest regrets. I didn't know how corrupt the criminal justice system was until it did it to me. And that was a wake-up call. Having said that, I want to say one thing about me as governor. When the cases came to me and I was given files about people who were seeking clemency or pardons, I acted appropriately.
Actually, no, they sat on your desk, and that's why you were sued. I mean, that is.
But I did clemencies and I did pardons. I didn't do nearly enough. It wasn't a priority. I would acknowledge that. I didn't go to the office every day doing that. Instead, I was giving health care to all the children, free public transportation to our seniors and the disabled.
Actually, I regret that very much. Money to hospitals in order to get campaign contributions. But listen, Governor.
No, see, that's a big lie. They got $8 million from me, and I was sent to prison for things that aren't crimes.
They got it after you had left.
I promised it. I ordered it before that happened, and it didn't. They got it while I was governor. That is not factual.
Okay. Governor Blagojevich, I do wish you the best. I'm glad for your family that you're out. I don't know.
By the way, you were asking me questions. I appreciate you having me on.
But just honestly, yes. I have no problem with you getting out. I think, you know, the president can commute whoever he wants. I just think I wish, you know, you're besmirching prosecutors who actually who are no longer in government. But, you know, prosecutors are important in our system, and you are going after the very basis of our justice system, which has plenty of problems. But, you know, part of the thing is you got out. You do have an obligation to at least admit what you did wrong, and you refuse to do that, and you're creating a whole new alternate universe of facts. And that may be big in politics today, but it's still, frankly, just bullshit. We got to leave it there.
Well, it's not bullshit. I lived it myself. It's not bullshit at all.
Thank you, Governor.
All right. So a lot of things just happened in that conversation. That was last night. Anderson Cooper talked to Rob Blagojevich about that. That's really the extent of it. That's the meat of the interview. I'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. I want to be the mediator here. I don't necessarily want to have a fight with anybody because I just think it's like an interesting piece of audio right there. But I would love to know what you think. And I want to give some air time to let you kind of sound off on that. I want to hear what you think. Now, my only request, though, we did bleep what he said because I obviously, we're not going to put that word in the air. I need you to keep the potty mouth off the air. So, but I, again, love to hear from you. What do you think about that? 312-981-7200, because I think it is, you don't see things like that often on television. So it was, you know, it was quite a thing. It was, I was a bit shocked to see that. So I would love to hear from you about it. I mean, it's interesting. It's an interesting time to, I don't want to say too much because I want to hear from you. I want to hear from all of you. If you felt like Anderson Cooper should have said that, if you maybe felt like Blago was not treated properly, if you feel like he should have said worse or one of them should have said worse. Remember though, here's the other thing I would say to you. Esteemed producer Curtis Cook in there is taking all of your calls. You got to be nice to him to get to me, to get on the air. So if you call and give him an earful and you're mean to him, don't do that. He's working very hard. Producers here work extremely hard to keep the show on track and to keep everything running smoothly, to bleep out things like that. He did all that so we could air that clip. So there's a lot. You have to be nice to him. Don't give him an earful. Save it. I'm giving you space. I want to hear those earfuls from you. I'm like, should we even talk about politics today, Curtis? I don't know if we should. It's Nevada caucus day, and then people are having some feelings. And I don't know if you saw this, but Michael Bloomberg, in time for the Nevada caucus, put up a billboard in Vegas that said Donald Trump cheats at golf. Like, it's a weird time to be alive, ladies and gentlemen. That's what I know. That's what I'm saying. So, okay, we got a lot of calls. So let's start doing this. Dave from Schaumburg. Hello, you're on WGN. What did you think about that clip with Anderson Cooper and Rob Blagojevich?
Well, not only with how Anderson Cooper came off, but basically on how all the journalists in CNN and Fox come off. When did journalism switch from giving us the facts to where it's basically opinion news? You know, I'd like to just get what the actual facts of whatever the situation is. Let me draw my own conclusion.
Yeah, well, there's a difference, though, between a reporter and a commentator. And, you know, Anderson Cooper is like a columnist at a newspaper who has to have an opinion and kind of has to drive it. But here we're saying you want to see you want to hear more from the reporters who are just giving you information, less people paid commentary.
Correct.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Well, thanks so much for the comment, Dave. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet. All right. Now let us go to Cooper in Chicago. Hi, you're on WGN. What did you think about that conversation between Anderson Cooper and Rob Blagojevich?
Well, it just reminded me how pleasant News Clips and News was when Governor Blagojevich was in prison and unable to be in front of us. And now hearing him again and his lies is aggravating and embarrassing to Illinois.
Yeah.
That's my comment.
Yeah, I appreciate the comment. I think, you know, we knew it would not take long for him to get back in front of a bunch of microphones and cameras. I think no matter how you feel about the guy, I think everybody can agree he enjoys speaking in front of microphones and cameras.
Yeah, correct. And as a president, just as like a human being, it's just frustrating. So I'm just sad to have to weather it. I also live in Ravenswood, close to his house, and it's just... it's just, here we go.
Yeah. Have you noticed any, I mean, obviously there was a lot of press, you know, there's a press conference that following morning. Beyond that, have you noticed a bigger presence in the neighborhood from police or reporters? Yeah, I'm sure.
All of that. And when you have Ronnie Woo Woo show up, it's now becoming a circus and an event. God bless Ronnie Woo Woo.
That's right. That's right. He was there. It's a thing.
Here we go again, Chicago.
Yeah, well, hang in there, Cooper. Hang in there in Ravenswood. Hang in. All right, thanks for the call. I appreciate your time. All right, okay, we got to take a break. There's still calls coming in. 312-981-7200. I want to know, what do you think about that conversation between Anderson Cooper and Rob Blagojevich on CNN last night? We're going to take a little break, taking your calls on the other side of that. Back in just a bit on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, it's Amy Guth. Thanks for being with me this afternoon. With you till 5 o'clock. Well, I might have kind of poked a bee's nest here. So I'm sure you have seen it if you have been on the internet at all today or if you watch CNN. Last night, Anderson Cooper talked to former Illinois Governor Rob Blagojevich, who, of course, got out of prison this week quite quickly. His sentence was commuted by President Trump. So, and we played that clip. It was no matter how you feel about the two people involved, Anderson Cooper and Rob Blagojevich, it was interesting to see that. It was not the kind of clip you see or hear very often. So my thing here is, let's talk about it. I'm giving you some space to air your grievances or share your opinion or whatever you want to do about it. And many of you have called and texted. Remember, Curtis is answering the phone. I teed this topic up, not him. So be sweet to him. He is a nice person. He works very hard. All right, let's go to Mark in Aurora. Hi, Mark. You're on WGN.
Amy, one reason I love listening to you is that I get the feeling you're pretty much the same person off the air that you are on the air.
Thank you. I try to be. I don't know if that's good or
bad. I can't say that about Rod Blagojevich. I think that his double life begins when he's on mic versus when he's off mic. And there has been brain research that shows that if you live that way long enough, your brain will actually develop two different sets of neural pathways. Now, that's useful if you have to visit a foreign country a lot and their customs are a lot different from American customs, because you can readily switch back and forth. But I think that Rod Blagojevich has become so adept at saying what is situationally appealing and getting people to like him that he doesn't even have to think about it anymore. His brain just switches back and forth naturally, and I find him hard to trust.
That is very interesting. You sound like you have some expertise in this area of the neural passageways.
Not formally, okay. But I actually heard about it on this station in an interview, I heard about it on NPR, I'm sorry, okay. And I just found it very interesting that the human brain actually takes on the tasks it has to do. And if you want to lead a double life, your brain will adapt to that. But if you want to adapt to a foreign country and not make trouble because of cultural differences, your brain will help you do that too.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, right? Because that would be like a survival mechanism. But then to in a way, like, exploit that to believe your own hype or narrative or whatever, suddenly that makes problems for everybody else.
Well, like anything else, if you're a corrupt person, you will tend to use it in destructive ways. If you're a good person, you'll use it in good ways.
You know what, Mark? I think the same thing with, I always say the same thing about alcohol and money. It'll, like, if you're a decent human being, you'll probably be just like a fun drunk and a pretty generous person if you come into some money. If you're kind of a jerk deep down, that's only going to come out if you get drunk or win the lottery. That's my theory.
Oh, but Amy, I don't get drunk. I only get buzzed.
Right. Sure. Indeed. Right. I don't get drunk. I just get more charming. That's what I do.
I really enjoy listening to you because I think you are very real.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. It means a lot. That's a very high compliment, Mark. I appreciate that. All right. Thank you. Okay. So let us now go to another Mark who is waiting patiently from Beecher. Hi, Mark. What is your comment about Blago and Anderson Cooper?
You know, my observation or my comment is that as a person who's trying to understand these questions and answers now, I think we're creating a legacy in the last few years where both parties are saying things with an agenda other than just asking a question and trying to get an answer. And I think we're losing our civility, our citizenship, and just the behavior is that we're sort of like broadcasting the perception of being an ugly American almost. And that worries me, because how are we going to answer questions or answer questions when we can't even understand the basic rules anymore?
You know, I think you are making a really excellent point, Mark. I have been thinking about this very same topic. What I don't know for sure, and I think about a lot, this topic keeps me awake at night a lot. Where do you think that started? Is it one thing, or was it just a convergence of events? I don't know that for sure.
You know, I sometimes try to blame it on the MTV when they started doing the real life, where we were trying to answer questions that we knew really weren't questions. You know, and you almost see it now. You can go to a grocery store or a bank and you watch even the interaction between parents and young kids. It's almost the same behavior that we listened to at the beginning of your clip. It seems like nobody understands how to have a conversation anymore. It's always about what's my agenda, what's the question agenda, you know, and it sort of scares the heck out of me a little bit, because it's not just straightforward question and answer. Now there's what's the underlying part of it. Maybe we should take polls. You know, maybe we need to do more sampling. We don't need that. We've gotten away from just, you ask me a question, I give you an answer, and that's the way it is.
Mm-hmm. I think that is a very good theory. I had not considered the impact of, like, reality TV and all of that kind of stuff. I've thought about that in terms of how it interacts with, like, kind of young people dating relationships. And I see the way you can't just kind of, I see young people kind of not just saying, oh, hey, that thing you said really hurt my feelings. It becomes like a throw something, have a meltdown. You know, like, I see people fighting, like, on the sidewalk outside of bars sometimes. Like, I was like, gosh, if they just would talk, they'd be fine. They'd be fine.
And maybe part of it is social media has become a bit of a narcotic, because Kurt, you'll come across people in real life that you look at their Facebook page and it's a completely different version of that person, from even from the pictures all the way down to what they say and think.
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
And maybe because of all these things, we can have conversations between a reporter and a politician, a reporter and anybody, and all of a sudden it's not always about the truth. It's sort of like the fuzzy definition of the truth.
That's an interesting point. Yeah, I do worry quite a bit about the impact that social media has on how we interact with each other, because let's face it, definitely on social media, people interact very differently behind a keyboard than they would face to face, for sure. Yep. For sure.
But is it really just behind the keyboard now? Is it starting to get out in the open? And an example of that is that clip we had.
Yeah, I think it absolutely is. I think it absolutely is. Well, you've raised some interesting, Mark. I feel like you should have like a regular segment. You're bringing up all these really good ideas. Thank you. I really appreciate your call today. Thank you.
Thank you, and I enjoyed listening to you.
Thank you. Have a good one. All right. Well, I know we got a couple other callers still on hold. We're out of time, unfortunately. We got to go to break. We got to do all those things. But thank you all for your calls and your texts. Lots to come. I'm sure this topic will be one we will be talking about for a while now that former Governor Rob Blagojevich has returned to the state and his sentence has been commuted by President Trump. There's a lot there, and I'm sure, I think we can all agree, as I said earlier, he enjoys speaking up. So we will hear from him again, I'm sure. So lots to come on that. All right, we're going to take a break. Back in just a bit here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. It's Amy Guth. Thanks so much for being with me today, with you till 5 o'clock. Thank you to everybody who has called and sent texts today. I appreciate them all. Thank you. I mean, you don't have to do any of that. You can just sit there and listen, but you've chosen to chime in. Thank you so much. Sorry I could not get to everybody. Put everybody on the air who called in that last segment talking about former Governor Rob Blagojevich and Anderson Cooper and their very interesting conversation last night. But what I said a little bit earlier is I was like, kind of poking the bee's nest here, right? And that leads me to the next story. This is a really interesting story. I saw this morning on Twitter and I was like, what? That's what's happening? Okay, I'm just going to read the headline to you. Curtis, this is a thing, because these are not headlines you see every day.
Yeah.
And often I tweet out things like headline of the day nomination or headline du jour. This is a headline of the day nomination, although this is quite serious. A swarm of nearly 40,000 bees attacked police responding to a single bee sting report.
Oh, gosh.
Just let that headline settle in, because first of all, somebody called the police for a bee sting. Like, start there,
yeah,
right?
That's true.
Just start there. But then you start to read it and you're like, oh, here's why they did. Okay, so police and firefighters were responding to a call of a bee sting. But the reason is because it was a swarm of bees and it was the killer bee, who is actually called the Africanized bee. That is because a very aggressive African bee was bred with the European honeybee and the Italian honeybee. I don't know why they did this, because it made them very aggressive and very mean and very scary looking, but they did. That's the thing that happened. But they swarm and they're, you know, dangerous bees. I'm pro bee. I think we need to be good to bees. They, you know, make the flowers good. They keep our crops good. However, okay, so the police and the firefighter, you play this out in your mind, Curtis, right? Police are coming. Firefighters are coming. They're here to rescue somebody from the, oh no, a swarm of bees has stung someone. And this is in LA. They arrive. 40,000 bees are swarming. First of all, who counted them?
Yeah.
Is my first question. There's so many questions in this story. But also, what are they doing? They're just sort of, sorry, they're in Pasadena specifically. But somebody
this
had
almost
to,
sounds like a Florida Man sort of story.
It, exactly where I'm going with this. It totally sounds like a Florida man story, which, you know what? I feel like last time you and I were working together, weren't we talking about Florida man?
We did. That was when that whole
Google your birthday
and Florida man.
We were laughing so hard because there were so many we couldn't read on here.
Mine, I remember, was specifically a guy firing a shotgun at a hurricane.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I had to get away from the microphone because I have a cackle of a laugh, you guys. That's right. The guy that fired the shotgun at the hurricane. I remember that. Yeah. That was so funny. I feel like mine, like the guy, I think he may have tried to shoot a shark or something. Both involved weapons.
Yeah.
They always involve weapons. Yes, this does sound like either The Onion or a Florida man.
But those bee sting stories, like when they swarm, that gets scary because when you like see like the actual like videos,
it's horrible. That's the thing. CNN has a video that you're like, wait, what? And then you see it and you're like, ah! And it sent five people to the hospital because it's a killer bee.
Yeah.
Ooh.
But don't they have like professional like exterminators? Maybe you should call instead of, because I feel like if you call the police and fire department, what can they do?
They're not equipped to deal with a swarm of bees.
The firemen are all dressed up, expecting to like be a paramedic or possibly to show up like in their fire suits, and then which the fire suits actually might kind of protect them from the bee stings,
maybe.
But
however,
minus the face,
the all important face and jugular area.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Which is exactly what occurred. There was one firefighter who the bees stung seven people total. Two of them did not need to be hospitalized. They were okay, but nobody got it worse than the first firefighter who arrived. The bees stung him 17 times.
Oh,
poor guy. The bees are very aggressive, he said.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think you got stuck 70 times.
I think if I was near a swarm of bees, I'd try to jump into like the nearest like water.
Yes.
Just to kind of get them off.
So what they did...
Hopefully hold your breath for a while.
Okay, so the firefighters and a professional beekeeper climbed a ladder to remove the hive, which was on the roof of a 4-story Hampton Inn. This is getting even more Florida man. Then sprayed the bees with CO2 and foam extinguishers. I feel like you don't... Do not poke the bear.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're already swarming, and there's 40,000 of them.
Well, if they're in a bee suit, like the full-blown,
white
suit...
If you have like, a professional with you, that's
suit,
right.
Yeah, I think that's fine. But, yeah, keep me away from the bees.
So this happened the other day. Some of the bees were killed while others left the area when the sun went down. The beekeeper safely removed the hive so the bees could not return home. There are many things here that went wrong to converge in these events. If you were the owner of the Hampton Inn and you're like, wow, there's a big beehive with a swarm of bees, I feel like it's on you, bro, to call the bee people and be like, hey, I have a hotel. That seems like a really bad place for a beehive of killer bees. Can you come help me out?
When it's on like a building, I can understand like, yeah, that's on you. But like some of those hives too, like they form underground.
No.
Yeah.
I know they do. There's a very endangered Illinois bee. Illinois had one of the first endangered bees in the world. I learned this whole thing.
Really?
Because I said something about bees on the air one night, talking about like the colony collapse disorder. I was talking about that.
Yeah.
And kind of some of the theories of why. And there was a study that suggested it was something totally different than people thought, whatever. Anyway, I was talking about that on the air ages ago. And I got bombarded with like this, the bee people heard it and sent me all this stuff. It was actually really fascinating. Then it was like, oh no, Illinois had one of the first endangered bees. They live underground. There's some bees. We think of bees looking little stripy yellow and black things. There are some here that look like jewels. They're like dark blue and green and kind of pearlescent, really beautiful. They look like a pin or something. They look like a dragonfly. They're beautiful. Yeah. There are many different kinds of bees. In summation, there 40,000 bees coming at you. No.
No, thanks.
Hard no.
I've only got stung by a bee once, and that was like in second or third grade. But that was it. I've never been stung since. Don't plan on getting stung. I get bit by mosquitoes all the time. Like, the mosquitoes are a totally different story. But, like, when I go camping and stuff, I'll purposely wear, like, long pants so I don't get, like, eaten alive.
Some
by
people
mosquitoes.
Just are, like, delicious to mosquitoes.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people, too. They eat me alive.
But bees, nope, I stay away from.
Oh, no.
Stay away from.
No bees. No. Mm-mm. I don't. My dad is very allergic to bees, so I don't. I'm terrified. I don't know what would happen, like, if I got actually stung by a bee. So that's the thing. I want to shift completely. There's no good segue here. There's absolutely no segue. There's a couple of calls coming in, so I feel bad. Like, Curtis is going to miss this part because he's answering the phone right now. But nonetheless, I got to tell you about this. Another story that this was mentioned a little bit on the news, but to go a little bit deeper, McDonald's is now selling a collection of candles that smell like McDonald's products. I can't imagine wanting to have that in my house. Look, I'm not saying McDonald's is not delicious. I'm just saying I don't know that I would want like a Big Mac candle in my home sitting there making my house smell like a Big Mac, because I feel like that could just start smelling like armpits and it would be bad and you don't want that. I'm not feeling that. I don't know. Tell me what you think. I know. I mean, there's weird candle stuff. This is not hard hitting news right now. I fully acknowledge I am not talking about hard hitting news. I'm just talking about what McDonald's, local company. So anytime McDonald's is in the news, I want to talk about them. Would you own, Curtis, Big Mac smelling candle? Or actually, let me ask you a different question. Of all the things on the McDonald's menu, you have to have a candle in your home. Again, not hard hitting news here. What is the McDonald's smell you would want in your house? It cannot be an apple pie. Can't be.
I was going to say, it can't be something like dessert
because that's delicious.
Like a McFlurry or something like that.
No dessert.
Maybe the fries. Huh. I feel like that'd be the more tolerable. I think I'd get sick of like a Big Mac or like chicken nuggets or something like that after a while. I think the fries.
I think a nice chicken nugget candle would be kind of comforting.
But then your whole like for example, my apartment is so small. Whole place. I don't want to go to bed smelling like a Big Mac or chicken nugget. And then waking up the next morning sitting in that scent.
And having wild animals at your window, all the birds like, there's food in here. Right, there's that. Yeah, I don't know. I fries is probably a decent bet.
Yeah. I think I'd go fries if I had to pick.
If you had to
pick.
Also, like maybe not fast food candles at all. Maybe let's just stick to like vanilla.
Yeah,
like that's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Or mint, or you know,
those Febreze
like that.
Candles are fine.
Yeah,
lavender, berry. I like the Hawaiian Aloha scent. Pick them up at Jewel; they're fine.
Can you imagine like a Taco Bell scent candle?
I kind of feel
like Wendy's.
There was a KFC candle. I feel like that was around
that
the holidays.
I could see.
Yeah, would you rather have a KFC candle or a McDonald's fry candle?
Oh, man. I don't know. Like, I don't eat a lot of fast food, to be honest.
I love how you won't have a chicken nugget candle. You're like, oh, KFC, different deal.
No, I'm thinking, like, I don't eat a lot of fast food to begin with. So I'm thinking, instead of, like, the generics, like McDonald's, Wendy's, Taco Bell, like, I don't know, maybe what I would want, like, a Five Guys scented candle.
Oh, you're going fancy now.
I'm going a little bit fancier, yeah.
I would like the Potbelly.
I mean, if I want to smell like a burger, I might as well smell like a good burger.
Like the Au Cheval one.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, that's fair. That's reasonable.
You know, or like a Chipotle burrito.
Oh,
or,
there you go. Yeah, like the burrito
like
scent.
Yeah.
Right. There you go. That's fair. So I don't know if you saw this, but very interesting thing. Like during the week, I'm looking at a lot of fast food stories, and obviously I'm looking at McDonald's a lot because they're local. So there is a little bit of competition happening in the breakfast space right now. And I can't believe I just said this, the word breakfast space, the phrase of that, but that's a thing. And McDonald's has always kind of owned that. So Wendy's has taken notice of that, and Wendy's is launching some breakfast stuff. And there's a social media campaign that was really interesting. They hired a former McDonald's chef. I don't know if they specifically like lured him away from McDonald's or if he had already left and they went and got him. But nonetheless, they hired a former McDonald's chef to talk about the Wendy's breakfast sandwich. So there's all these social media clips of him specifically even saying like, I'm formerly a chef of McDonald's and I'm here to talk about the Wendy's breakfast sandwich. And he's, you know, singing its praises, which is really interesting. But interesting thing about McDonald's, they have been, for the last couple of years, really heavily investing in technology, some of which you've probably seen, right? If you've gone into a McDonald's, there's a kiosk. You don't have to wait in the line and talk to a human being if you choose not to. There's just a kiosk. You can make your order, swipe your card, go to the counter, get your food. So McDonald's has invested really heavy in that kind of thing. But also, some stores, though they have not confirmed exactly which one, some stores have some AI that they're testing in their menu screens, and others have, there's a software that McDonald's invested in, and they're using this in a lot of stores that looks at weather,
mm-hmm.
what menu items are trending, speech recognition, to try to make the drive-through go faster. Because who knew? But nonetheless, there is like a war going between all the fast food restaurants. And there was a trade publication recently that tracked this, what the average drive-through time is of different restaurants.
Oh, gosh.
And it's fascinating. They're like cutthroat over 20 seconds. So McDonald's shaved about 20 seconds off their drive-through time.
I'm saying Portillo's is probably at the bottom of the list because that line is always massive.
I don't even think they bothered, right? Like, that's an event in itself, the Portillo's line. But then like, I think Wendy's was kind of in there somewhere. They were a little higher, but McDonald's new CEO saying, you know, in 2020, we're going to take another 30 seconds off of that and be one of the fastest. They're not the fastest. It's really, really interesting how they're like, okay, we've invested in all of this technology. Now we need to see it pay off, because for McDonald's, the drive-through is like their biggest. That's their big money. They need that. And because they own breakfast, now Wendy's is coming trying to take a piece of that breakfast. It's a thing.
Yeah.
Who knew? Like the drive-through business case was so interesting.
Yeah. And I know, like, just in general, like the breakfast stuff, because at least when I lived out in the suburbs, you'd drive around and you'd see, you know, the Starbucks drive-through line always big for breakfast time. Same with McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
And even Taco Bell a little bit would get a little with their breakfast now, too.
Yeah. And what they're betting on is, like, if people are moving through the drive-through faster, they think, which I think rightly so, if you pull up, if you're like, oh, I'm going to pick up some breakfast on my way to work, and you're driving by the McDonald's, if you see a long line, you're going to be like, nah, I'm not going to sit in that line. But if it's moving along, you're like, oh, it's not too bad. Not too many cars. Shoop, I'll just pop in there.
The last fast food breakfast I had, like, through a drive-through, like, on the way to, like, work or school or whatever back in the day was Chick-fil-A.
They do.
I didn't even know they have breakfast.
I didn't realize they did breakfast.
And their breakfast, like, isn't too bad.
What,
like,
is it?
It's like
chicken,
well,
obviously.
I got it was the Chick-fil-A biscuit, which is essentially just like it's a biscuit, but with literally just a little fried piece of chicken in the middle, which was pretty good. They give you like jam or something to put on it too.
All right.
But they have like pretty decent like breakfast sandwiches too. Like they have like a biscuit sandwich, like the typical egg, cheese, sausage or bacon.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing too.
Hmm. I think the big question, in addition to like how is McDonald's going to, you know, have their big technology payoff, is also what they're going to do. So many fast food restaurants have rolled out like a plant-based meat option.
Yeah.
Even Subway has partnered with one of the companies to do like a meatball, non-meat ball thing. Then, of course, like the Impossible Whopper, that was like one of the first one. I think Chipotle now has a meat-free option. So for people that, you know, might care about that, I think there's people, even that aren't vegetarians, that want to eat less meat, right? Even that, I think there's a lot of eyes on McDonald's. They did a test at some of their Canadian stores this past year but think about that. There's 14,000 McDonald's stores. Whoever gets that account, you got to make a whole lot of veggie burgers to make that work.
Yeah.
Who can really handle that at this point? So I think a lot of questions. Who knew we were going to talk about McDonald's so much, all because of a candle? All right, we're going to take a little break. Back in just a bit here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Hello, it's Amy Guth. Just a few more minutes left. I'm with you till 5 o'clock. Then I'm turning things over. Who am I turning things over to, Curtis?
It's Ion Travel.
That's right.
Yes,
Ion Travel.
From 5 to 8 o'clock.
That's right. That's a good show. Good times. All right. Well, that's what's happening at 5 o'clock. So I will get things wrapped up. But I still have so many things to talk to you about. I should just like, keep a running list of all the things. All right. So I walked in the door today, and immediately I was confronted with the topic of donuts, thanks to Curtis.
Yes. And you haven't had your punchkis at all or anything like that?
I've never had one.
See, I wish I would have known that. Then I would have brought it in. I would have brought some in because I have some still left over.
Tell me how the punchki differs from a regular donut.
Well, it's a Polish pastry. And it's more so kind of like a general like filling donut that you fill it in with something specific? It's usually filled with like the ones that I get are usually it's like a fruit sort of thing. Like a fruit jam,
a quality mixed with jam like filled donut is aces in my book,
and it's usually mixed with like a frosting of some sort. Like so the one I have is like kind of like the cream from like a Boston cream donut, mixed with vanilla angel cream, which is kind of like a light, fluffier buttercream frosting.
I've never heard the phrase vanilla angel cream in my life, but I'm in.
Yeah,
it's really good.
But a ton of bakeries around here.
I've seen that. I know it's a thing. In fact, I think they've been here in years past. I've just like not.
But a lot of places, like, I got mine. I know you're technically supposed to have them on, like, on Fat Tuesday. Or,
that's right.
You know,
so it's like a big indulgent thing you have right before Ash Wednesday going into Lent.
But I ordered a dozen for myself and I just kind of, like, spread it over the last few
nicely
days.
Nicely done.
So, like, I had two for breakfast this morning.
Good job.
And I'll probably have two more for dessert when I'm done working today. But they're really good. Usually some powdered sugar on top.
Delicious.
You can usually get a different bunch of different like mix-ins with it. But they're very, very delicious, very filling.
All right.
Depending on where you get them, everybody has like their mom and pop shop that they kind of go to. My personal place, being from the Northwest suburbs, Country Donuts in Crystal Lake and Elgin.
I have heard about this place.
The two places that are the two locations.
Yeah.
But the place that we've gone to before.
Hmm.
And I ordered mine a few weeks ago and I picked them up on Thursday.
So I ordered them. You don't just swing by and buy them.
No. Most places you have to pre-order them and get them set ready to go because they won't know how much they have to make usually because if it's a long line out the door, people are going to be sitting there. And especially like Country Donuts and from my hometown, they're open 24 hours a day.
Holy moly. Just for this or all the time?
No, for donuts. Like they're specifically a donut shop, but they're open 24 hours. And
for the punchki,
not just for the punchki, just
all
in general.
Time. Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
But for the punchki in general, they're very, very popular.
Okay. If you had to describe, I realize I'm really doubling down and putting you on the spot about donuts here and pushing the limits of your expertise on donuts. But how would you describe a regular, like a jelly donut from the punchki? What's the difference? Are they bigger?
Kind of. It kind of depends upon, again, usually it's a little bit more filling in the mix than obviously the powdered sugar, which you kind of get on both ends.
Yeah.
But the fact in general is just it's a little bit more fluffier at least in my experience, it's a little bit more fluffier and lighter of a pastry.
Okay.
Which kind of adds into like the fact you can put more filling in the middle because there's a little bit more space that you can add in there.
More of a vehicle for the
stuff.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever had a sufganiyot?
I have not.
Ever had that?
I've had klatchkis before.
I don't know what that is.
It's also kind of like the Polish version of a cannoli, but it's got like a fruit filling, but it's more so folded over.
Sufganiyot are they're a donut made around Hanukkah time, and it's pretty much the same as you're describing.
Yeah.
It's like a jelly filled, very delicious treat because you know Hanukkah is about oil.
And, yeah,
you know you fry the latkes. Well, not a lot of potatoes in the Middle East. Therefore, what was the alternative is like this delicious fried dough creation. It's delightful. So maybe at some point we'll have like a punchki sufganiyot off.
If I would have known that you were coming in today or that we would have been talking about this in particular, I would have.
I'd be
brought
eating
in
a donut right
you'd
now.
Be, you'd be having one right now.
It would not be the first time I've eaten something on the air just for the sake of experiment. Perhaps the most notable time. Or humiliating, however you want to look at it, was the time I had like the Hot Sauce King of Chicago on.
Oh gosh!
And he brought this hot sauce. He brought several. And I love hot sauce, and I told him that. He said, "Can I bring him? Will you try him?" I said, "Absolutely, I love hot sauce." And so he brought in this hot sauce. It's made with one of the hottest peppers in the world, and it's new. It's a new pepper. It's only like 5 or 6 years old. Hybrid of the two already hotter, and then genetically engineered to be like the hottest thing in the world. He took a toothpick and got, you know, the tiny spoons at like an ice cream place, the taster spoon?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He got a toothpick, dipped in the bottle, touched that onto the spoon. And then he gave me a fresh toothpick and he said, just touch it in that. Don't take the whole thing. And I was like, come on, man. Tom Hush was sitting.
Tom has told me this story.
Okay.
Tom has told me this story.
He was now Nick DiGilio's producer. He was sitting in the booth. He was my producer for a very long time. And he was looking at my face. And he said later, I was so afraid you were going to pass out, Guth. I really, because I touched that to my tongue. And for a minute, I was like, it's fine. It's blah. Like my whole tongue went numb. And he said this like lavender color. He was like, what, the scene in Willy Wonka, like violet, you're turning violet. He's like, you just turned red purple very quickly. And he said I was hovering over the dump audio button because I thought you were going to swear, but then I realized you couldn't talk and I thought you needed water or the Heimlich or something. It was a thing, but I still had some on the spoon. There is a news anchor, I will not say who, this person might be here right now, who then came down and got, we were still in Tribune Tower, came and got the spoon from me and was like, oh, it can't be that bad.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he knows I'm talking about him. and try the rest. And so I'm not saying that was or was not you, David Jennings, but if it was
it was.
how would you describe that little touch of hot sauce that you tried?
It was very spicy.
It was very spicy.
Mm-hmm.
Tom's version of this story is, because what I saw is you came in and you said, let me try. I gave you the little spoon.
And I just took the whole thing
that's
off.
That's right. I tried to hand you the toothpick and you're like, yeah. And you just like put it in your mouth like an ice cream sample, turned your back to me and walked in towards Tom in the booth. So I didn't see your face. Tom saw your face and he said that your face was just like, and just kind of like cringing, like, oh God, what have I done? I have to do the news in a little bit.
That's about right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, I mean, I really, without exaggeration, and again, I love spicy things, and I know you do too, David, because we talked about this. I really felt like the inside of my mouth was numb for a couple of hours. I mean, it was significant. And the guy said, like, if you get it on you, it will go badly.
That's happened to my mom, where she was chopping up jalapenos before for, like, a chili, and some of, like, the juice and stuff touched her skin, and her hands were literally, like, felt like she was burning. She had to stick her hands in milk for, like, an hour. To finally, like, get the burning sensation off of her
Holy
skin.
Moly. Yeah, that's a thing. That's a whole thing. Hot sauce. I've just, like, again, I have kicked a bee's nest here, poked a bee's nest of many things. Well, so many topics we did not even get to, but we got to the big things, and we are out of time already. Curtis, thank you so much. Thank you, David, in the newsroom for chiming in. That does it for me. I shall see you next time here on 720 WGN.